All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for the hottest pregame show in minor league baseball. It's the Air Show starring Michael Mark Antonini, Sam the Sound Man, and Party Mark. Let's send it down to the first base dugout for today's show.
Hey, what's up, Ironbirds fans? We are getting set for Game 3 of a six-game series here between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Brooklyn Cyclones. Another episode of the Air Show. I've got a new co-host with me tonight, replacing Ferris. It's my guy, Sam Circo. I'm Michael Marcantonini, as always. Well, Sam, beautiful night for a ball game here in the Dean. Birds looking to get back in the win column tonight. And it's great to have you on the Air Show with me.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And, you know, not only do we defeat the Cyclones yesterday, we defeated the actual wind. The gusting winds are finally gone. Our flag isn't flapping like crazy out there in center field. It's a beautiful night, and I smell fried onion, but I also smell a winning streak.
Yeah, that's right. It smells like baseball. It smells like winning as well, so I like that. Sam, thanks for joining me. You mentioned winning, and let's talk about that win last night. It was a big 2-1 win for the Birds to get back over 500, even up the series at a game apiece. Not much offense going on last night. It was cold. Both pitching staffs were dominating. I mean, it's like that sometimes here in April, early on this season. But on the pitching side, what a performance from Braxton Bragg, who went 7 shutout innings, gave up just 3 hits, didn't walk a batter, and he fanned 7. He was phenomenal.
He was tremendous. I know I leaned into the booth at one point. We were in the 7th inning and said, I can't remember an Aberdeen Ironbirds pitcher going 7 innings in a start before. It just kind of flew by. He was on top of it. He was shoving. He was outstanding.
Yeah, he kept the pitch count down. That's why he was able to get through 7. And then in that 7th, going the 3rd time through the lineup, he went 1-2-3 in that inning. He threw just 9 pitches to get through it. So really was showing no signs of tiring. And you mentioned having not seen a guy go 7 in a long time here in Aberdeen. Well, I took a look back in the archives, and the last time an Ironbirds pitcher completed 7 innings, it happened on the road, so not here in Aberdeen, but Kyle Verbitsky did it in August of 2023. That's how long it had been since an Ironbirds pitcher had gone 7. So a really impressive outing when you look at it individually, but also long-term context.
Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of unexpected. We don't know how long these guys are going to go earlier in the season as they're still kind of getting ramped up into starting shape. But, I mean, 7 innings, give your bullpen a day off. That was great.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. Saved the bullpen. The Birds got 2 runs for him early last night, and they ended up with a 2-1 dub. Well, before we wrap up the Air Show, we're going to throw it to our guy Party Mark to tell us what's going on at the ballpark. So, Mark, wearing the Jays as always and the cowboy hat, what's going on tonight?
How's it going, Ironbirds fans? You smell that, Ferris? I smell that, too. I smell that win in the air. We're going to keep it going. We got winners on the field. We got winners in the stands. Can I get some noise from the Ironbirds fans just a little bit? Does that still say woo, right? One more time? Woo! All right, we'll work on it. I'll see you guys later.
All right, we appreciate it. Mark and Ferris, of course. Ferris got replaced tonight on the main part of the Air Show, but we still love him, and it says woo, not oom, like it did last time. But, Sam, before we wrap things up, we got to talk about all the winning that went on throughout Birdland last night. It wasn't just here in Aberdeen. It wasn't just the big club in Baltimore. Wins throughout
everybody.
Birdland, the entire farm system, W's last night.
Delmarva, win. Chesapeake, win. Norfolk, win. Aberdeen, win. Orioles, a big win. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen all that often. I mean, there's a lot of winning going through Birdland the last few years, but to get everybody in the system winning on the same night, let alone playing on the same night, that's pretty cool. So we'll see if the win streak can continue for all those squads here tonight.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. We've got a little momentum on our side here now.
That's exactly it. Birds looking to make it 2 in a row and go 2 games over 500. Well, first pitch is coming up at 7:05. Ironbirds fans, you can catch me on the broadcast. I've got my guy Zach Bollinger from the Ryan Ripken Show joining me, so that'll be fun. Let's have some fun, as always, Birds fans. And Sam, as always, let's fly. It's another beautiful night for a ball game here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set to play Game 3 of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Brooklyn Cyclones. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Marcantonini, the voice of the Ironbirds, live from Ripken Stadium here in Aberdeen. Well, it was a big 2-1 win for the Birds last night, a phenomenal pitching performance from Braxton Bragg. Seven shutout innings, and the Ironbirds held on for a 2-1 win. The Birds come into tonight's game 6-5 overall. They are just two games back of first in the South Atlantic League North Division. On the flip side, their division rival Cyclones are 7-4. They are just one game back of first, sitting in second place. And these two teams will go at it for the third time this week with this series tied at a game apiece. Well, we will get to the starting lineups and the starting pitching matchup in a few minutes. But first, I'm going to introduce another guest color commentator. I had Brendan Mortensen from Masson on with me last night to kick off the Guest in the Booth series again this year. But tonight I'm really pleased to reintroduce my guy Zach Bollinger from the Ryan Ripken Show, who was my first guest in this series last year. Zach, you're back this year. It's great to have you here, my man.
Oh, my God, Mike. I can't believe we're back already.
We are back.
Just what a beautiful night in the Dean here. Ripken Stadium. I'm feeling some magic tonight. I just have that feeling. You can feel it in the air. Something special is going down tonight on this field.
All right, Ironbirds fans, you heard it here. Zach Bollinger saying that something special is happening in the Dean tonight, whether that means an offensive outburst from the squad, another dominant pitching performance, who knows. But you're coming in here looking for a win, Zach. You're looking for the squad to do something offensively. And, you know, more importantly, you're looking for bragging rights over your Ryan Ripken Show co-host. It's a crew of five of you guys. And you got to establish yourself here as the first guy in here to join me on a broadcast this year with a solid performance from the Birds.
Yeah, I'm going to need some runs tonight. Last year, start off with about 5-6, which kept me middle of the pack most of the time. I still believe last year, I can't believe Kevin Ostreicher called a no-hitter here. But that's besides, I don't accept that. You know, I put an asterisk next to it because he was on the call. But, we got to get off to a hot start, need some bragging rights. So we'd love for the Birds in those sick unis to come out here and put on a show.
The sick unis, that's right. The Birds are wearing their baby blue tops and bottoms, the home alternates. We'll get into more about that later. But first, Zach, I know a lot of people around Birdland know who you are from your work with the Ryan Ripken Show, covering the Orioles and the Ravens and just sports in general. But for those out there who don't know who you are, reintroducing yourself to some new Ironbirds fans, just tell everybody about what you do with the Ryan Ripken Show and what you guys are trying to accomplish in general with the show.
Yeah, so Ryan Ripken Show, we are live on YouTube and X every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 2:30 to 4:30. So we were just live earlier today. We've had a lot of incredible guests over the past few days. Honestly, this morning by ourselves, we had former Ironbirds, Kobe Mayo and Jordan Westberg, both doing their thing right now. We've had John Means. We've had Joe Flacco on over the past few days. So tune in if you just want. You know, we're always hanging out, you know, having a good time, talking sports, you know, having some guys on the show. It's been a blast. So we've been doing it for about 19-ish months now, but feels like it's gone by in a blink. It truly has been a blast. So
I love it. Well, Zach, I appreciate you being here. Let me ask you, on a beautiful night for a ball game, the Ironbirds are playing some good ball. Where else would you rather be?
Nowhere. I can't think of a single other place on earth I would rather be than right here in the Dean with you, Mike.
Yeah, so just to give a little more info on what Zach and the crew from the Ryan Ripken Show do. So these guys have been all over the place so far this year. They were down in New Orleans on Radio Row for the Super Bowl. They were down in Sarasota for spring training. It's really cool to see where you guys have been lately. We'll talk about that throughout the broadcast. You guys are getting so many awesome interviews. You mentioned a couple former Ironbirds and Mayo and Westberg coming on. But based on what you've seen throughout the Orioles organization the last couple of years, you joined me for two broadcasts last year. What excites you about what's going on down on the farm?
It's endless talent. Genuinely, when you think of the Orioles farm system right now, it feels like every single year – Mike Elias and company, if there's one thing they are incredible at doing, it is stockpiling an organization with a lot of young talent. And that's, you know, it all starts in Aberdeen. You know, this is one of the big stepping stones for so many players as they start their big, you know, their journey to the big leagues, one of those big stepping stones. And you look through the roster right now, and there's a lot of guys that have that potential to be playing up at Camden Yards in the big leagues one day soon. So I think the most exciting part is just overall the potential, and pretty much every player you see in this organization, it feels like they have a shot to go play in the bigs.
Yeah, it's one of the coolest things about minor league baseball, seeing these guys at this point in their careers as they work towards their major league dreams, but also seeing them develop right in front of our eyes. I mean, last year, I'd have to go back and look at the scorebook pages from the two games that you were here, but a lot of those names, I mean, they're going to be in the big leagues sooner rather than later, and it's just cool to see guys making strides in a positive direction moving forward.
Yeah, it really is. You see the development of guys over time. You know, even if they're not here for the long haul throughout the season, even if it's just a pit stop for a few weeks, month or so, getting to see the guys as they start their journey and they do develop into not only on the field but off the field, it truly is what's magical about minor league baseball.
Well, Ironbirds fans, we are just a few minutes away from first pitch here in Aberdeen. It is game 3 of 6 this week between the South Atlantic League North Division rivals, the Aberdeen Ironbirds, and the visiting Brooklyn Cyclones. We'll get the starting lineups out after the national anthem. We're waiting for the teams to come out of their respective dugouts and line up for the anthem. But we've got a really solid pitching matchup on hand tonight. Right-hander Michael Ferrett gets the ball for the Birds. He is a fast-rising prospect in the Orioles system. On the flip side, for Brooklyn, it's right-hander Brendan Gurton. But Zach, Michael Ferrett, a guy who was here a little bit in Aberdeen last year, I know you're excited to see him throw the baseball.
Oh, my gosh. Just, you know, we talked off screen beforehand. This is a guy that I think if you are an Orioles fan, if you are a fan of this organization, you're going to want to know this name. Get familiar with Michael Ferrett because he could be coming in hot soon to the big league club and just honestly all levels past here.
And we will talk plenty more about Ferrett as he starts his evening on the mound. Well, the Ironbirds are ready to take flight. They are out on the field, and we are going to take a pause for the national anthem here in Aberdeen. We are just about ready for baseball here in the Dean. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger from the Ryan Ripken Show joining me on the broadcast tonight. It's going to be a really fun one. Zach was with me for two broadcasts last year. He's back for the first of what will not be his only trip this year. Zach's going to definitely be back, and it's going to be a fun ride to start things out tonight. Let's take a look at the lineup for the Ironbirds. Leading off in center field, Austin Over, and batting second, the second baseman Aaron Estrada. Ryan Stafford's the catcher. He bats third. Ethan Anderson, the cleanup hitter, is in right field. Leandro Arias is at shortstop, batting fifth. Anderson De Los Santos, the first baseman, is in the sixth hole. Batting seventh at third base, Jalen Vasquez. Anudis Mordaunt is the DH. He bats eighth. And rounding out the lineup, batting ninth, it's the left fielder, Angel Tejada. So that's the Ironbirds lineup for tonight, behind right-hander Michael Ferrett, who is throwing his warm-up tosses right now. And as he continues those warm-up tosses, let's take a look at the Brooklyn Cyclones lineup. And they will line up like this. Boston Barrows, the shortstop, he leads off. Rafael Ortega is in right field, batting second. The three-hole hitter, it's Jacob Reimer. He's at third base. Eli Serrano, the center fielder, bats fourth. Chris Suero, the catcher, is in the five-hole. With Starling Mercado in the sixth spot, he's at first base. DeAndre Smith, the DH, bats seventh. Nick Rosselli is at second base, batting eighth. And rounding out the lineup, batting ninth, it's the left fielder, Jeffrey De Los Santos. On the mound for Brooklyn, it's right-hander Brendan Gurton. We'll see him in the bottom of the first, but here in the top of the first, it's the 6'3", 21-year-old right-hander Michael Ferrett. He turned 21 after his first start of the season. He turned the big 2-1 on April 6th. He threw the ball really well in his season debut on April 5th. And that's always a great combination, Zach. You throw the ball well, make your season debut, then you get to celebrate the big 2-1.
You know what? I'll tell you, he probably had a better 21st birthday than a lot of people. It is a treat if you get to go shove, and then you get to immediately go out and celebrate turning 21. Not better ways to do it.
I'm sure he'll remember it for a long time. And he's looking to turn in another strong start here tonight. He gets Boston Barrow, the shortstop, to lead things off. And we are set for baseball. First pitch of the night, fouled back behind home plate. And we are underway. So the count is 0-1 on Barrow. Zach, you said it. Beautiful night for a game. A little cool, maybe a little wind, but this is really nice. Light blue skies, no clouds off in the distance. Picturesque.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of early season baseball, you know it's going to be a little chilly, but just what a beautiful sight here. Like you said, a little cold, but nothing too bad.
Well, Ferret just pumped a 94-mile-an-hour heater past Barrow, swing and a miss. It's 0-2. Ferret has seven different pitches that he can work with in his arsenal, a deep bag that consistently fools opposing hitters. Looking for a strikeout to start his night. The right-hander set, 0-2, fouled back.
I'm telling you, Mike, there are two straight foul balls right to the left of us. Something's coming tonight.
Yeah,
I'm feeling it.
I'm thinking the same thing in my head. I'm going to break out the glove. I think that's important to have the leather out this early.
I like it. You know, you got to have the confidence, you know that ready to make a play at any time.
Still an 0-2 count on Barrow. Ferret next pitch. Off the end of the bat into shallow right. Here comes Anderson. He slides and he made the catch. That's a catcher slash first baseman playing outfield, and he made it look easy.
Yeah, I mean, off the bat, just a blooper, one of those where, unfortunately, if you're the pitcher, you're sitting there going, oh, man, had him 0-2. Does he get a blooper over the top? Not to be after the amazing diving play there to keep the first guy off base. That's what you like to see, defense helping out the pitcher there.
Made a really good pitch, did Ferret, to get the weak contact off the end. Now the first pitch to Rafael Ortega, the right fielder, misses a little bit high. Umpiring crew in tonight's game, it's Frank Jones behind the dish, and Brooks Pritchett has the bases. Those two flip-flopping back and forth this week. So one out, no one on in the top of the first. Good start for Ferret and the Birds. Next pitch, foul to the netting behind home plate, 1-1. Well, a few foul balls from the Cyclones, they're on it, but Ferret is pumping strikes early, and that's what we like to see. Braxton Bragg, who went seven shutout innings last night, it was strike one consistently. He was ahead 0-2 quite a bit. Now Ferret looking to continue that dominance. 1-1 pitch, ripped foul over towards the Ironbirds dugout. It's 1-2.
Mike, I know I said it beforehand, but I'm still in awe of these uniforms. These are just incredible. I would be okay if they wore these every night for the rest of the season.
It's my favorite uniform combo. They've got the baby blue tops and bottoms and the light blue hat as well with kind of that alternate crab logo on the front. They're pretty sweet.
Extremely.
1-2 from Ferret. Called strike three on the outside corner. A late call from Frank Jones, but he rings up Ortega, and Ferret has strikeout number one on the night. Two up, two down. Let's set the defense quickly for the Ironbirds. Ryan Stafford is catching for Ferret tonight with Jalen Vasquez at third, Leandro Arias at short, Aaron Estrada at second, and Anderson De Los Santos at first. In the outfield, Angel Tejada in left, Austin Overn in center. And Ethan Anderson in right. Two gone, no one on. Ferret looking for a 1-2-3. He misses inside to Reimer. But, Zach, the strikeout stuff is there early on. It's a big pitch on the outer half.
Getting ahead of batters and putting them away. That's what you ask for from your, especially a young pitcher, like you said, just turned 21. Strikeouts are fun, but getting ahead and putting away batters is what you really like to see here. When he's up, 0-2, 1-2, he's not getting cute. He's not trying to dirt stuff. He's not throwing waste pitches. He's going right at the batter, and he's trying to get outs.
Through two starts this season, Ferret has not allowed an earned run in 9 2/3 innings of work. With that strikeout of Ortega, he now has 11 punch-outs and just 5 walks on the year. He entered play today with an .083 whip and a .100 batting average against. Dude just does not give up a lot of hits and not a lot of hard contact.
And that's what you want to see from pitchers. It doesn't always, you talked about the 11 strikeouts to 5 walks. You love to see that over the 2-1. But the biggest thing is if you're not going to get strikeouts, if you can get a ground ball, weak ground ball, weak fly out on 3-4 pitches, that is just as good.
Trying to come back here down in the count 3-1 to Jacob Reimer, who's had a nice series. Next pitch, that's in for a strike. Good one on the inner half.
Love that pitch. Love that pitch. Doesn't give in. Throws it right on the inner corner. That's not a ball. And if the batter's not looking for it, that's probably just a ground out to third base.
Reimer has four hits through two games this series. Here's the 3-2 from Ferret. Fly ball to center field. Over and a few steps over, drifting back towards the track. He makes the catch shy of the track, and the inning is over. A pretty easy 1-2-3 first inning for Michael Ferret and the Birds. No score after a half inning of play. We'll go to the bottom of the first and see if the Ironbirds can jump on the board first here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. We move to the home half of the first inning here in Aberdeen. No score after the top of the first. A 1-2-3 inning for Michael Ferret. Picked up a strikeout and two flyouts. And now here in the bottom of the first, the Birds will look to jump on the board first. Austin Overn, Aaron Estrada, and Ryan Stafford. The top three in the Birds order. Middle of the order, it's Ethan Anderson, Leandro Arias, and Anderson De Los Santos. And then the bottom three of Jalen Vasquez, Anudis Mordan, and Angel Tejada. Right-hander Brendan Gurton is on the mound for Brooklyn. He was a 10th-round pick by the Mets last summer out of the University of Oklahoma. So he is on to make his third appearance of the season. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger with you in the booth tonight. It's been a fun broadcast so far, and we are just getting started. First pitch to Over in the center fielder is in for a strike. Zach, how about Michael Ferret in a 1-2-3 first?
Exactly what you want to see from a young pitcher. Get his feet under him early, you know, go out there. Clean first inning, which is really nice. You know, no, he doesn't have to work out of any jams, doesn't have to waste any pitches. A quick, efficient inning, 1-2-3. You know, you got the strikeout in there, you got the weak contact, and Anderson makes a nice plan right, and then you get the routine flyout. Really just a nice three-batter sequence. And you just hope to continue the confidence from there.
Count is quickly 0-2 on Austin Overn as he tries to find his way on against Gurton to start the bottom of the first. Gurton out of the windup, 0-2. Fought off the hands, popped up, third base side, foul territory. Long run for Reimer. He slides, he can't make the catch. And Overn will see at least one more.
That would have been an incredible play if Reimer was able to get over there. Unfortunately, he's in the shift, yeah. A little bit of the shift, so he's playing closer to shortstop than he would be. If that's a right-handed batter, I think that is a pretty routine pop-up. But, hey, Overn gets the other opportunity as Reimer heads back to over close to shortstop. So, definitely, they're giving him that whole third base line, and he got away with one there.
Yeah, if Overn can slap one down that third base line, that's easily a hit, maybe a double. Fouls one back there. Count stays at 0-2, but it's a great point you make, Zach. Everybody shifted over a little bit towards the right with the lefty over and at the plate. So the third baseman, Reimer, is almost playing where the shortstop would, and then Barrow, the shortstop, is back deep at his position, shading up the middle. 0-2, flipped foul, third base side again, and Overn will see at least a sixth pitch in this AB. He's done a nice job fouling some off.
Done an incredible job, and if you're pitching right now, for Gurton, that's one of the things where you hate the shift in that aspect. When the shift works in at your advantage, you love the shift. He's definitely feeling that getting that pop-up in foul territory down third baseline, he should have gotten an out there.
0-2 again. Another one fouled down the left field line. And Overn doing what you want out of a leadoff hitter, seeing pitches and making Gurton work. Driving that pitch count up. Gurton stands 6'1" tall. He is 23 years old, second pro season. Started at Texas Tech, then went to Oklahoma. 0-2 in the dirt. Check swing from Overn. Appeal. They say he went. Overn headed to first, And they beat him by a step at the bag. So a strikeout and a 2-3 put out. Bang, bang at first. But
yeah, unfortunately, over. And I don't think he right away understood what was happening. I think he saw the pass ball, and he kind of just stood in the box for a minute trying to see, hey, did I swing? Is this called a swing? What's going on? If he leaves the box, you know, flying from the start, he probably beats that out. But a little bit of a confusion on whether or not he thought he swung or not.
Yeah, I thought he checked.
I did as well, but I think the a lot of chaos happening there. The ump gave him the check swing, went too far. So that's going to be the first out.
So one out, no one on. Here is Aaron Estrada, the switch hitting infielder at second base tonight. Such a versatile piece for the Birds. Next pitch from Gurton in for a strike, 1-1. Well, some more numbers on Gurton. Through two games, one start this season, he's allowed 2 earned runs in 5 2/3, 9 strikeouts, 4 walks. Made his season debut on April 5th at home against Wilmington. 1-1, popped up down the left field line, and that one drops in foul. In that outing, he started, went 2 2/3, struck out 5, walked 1. He was really good. And then in relief on April 12th at home against Hudson Valley, 3 innings, 4 Ks, 3 walks. He throws 3 pitches, a 4-seam fastball, a sweeper, and then kind of a cutter-slider hybrid. We'll see how that works against these Birds tonight. 1-2 pitch. That's high. Well, that one almost knocked down Suero, the catcher.
Not where he wanted that pitch. Probably umpire, home plate ump's going to be very thankful that he snagged that one, because that was heading straight for the face mask.
So 2-2 now, no score, bottom of the first inning. Estrada just the second batter of the frame. Tried to check his swing, and he went around as well, so now Estrada tagged out by Suero. Back-to-back pitches in the dirt that Overn and Estrada went too far on, and there are 2 gone. So let's set the defense for Brooklyn. Chris Suero is catching with Jacob Reimer at third, Boston Barrow at short, Nick Rosselli at second, and Starling Mercado at first. In the outfield, it's Jeffrey De Los Santos in left, Eli Serrano in center, and Rafael Ortega in right. Well, 2 really good breaking balls down in the dirt from Gurton. And now here is Ryan Stafford, the catcher. Zach, that's just a really good sequence to both Overn and Estrada to bury that breaking ball late in the count.
Yeah, he's seeing that they were in swing mode. I mean, fouling off multiple straight pitches, both of them. He goes dive in down below the zone and gets the check swing on both of them. It's just good pitching. Sometimes you have to tip your cap. You know, you can argue, did they go, did they not? Sometimes pitchers just going to make a pitcher's pitch, and, you know, they were a little too aggressive, and then you find yourself 2 strikeouts.
1-1, ripped to third, caught by Reimer as he goes down to a knee. Stafford has a hit taken away from him, and the inning is over. So both starting pitchers go 1-2-3 in their respective halves of the first, and we are scoreless after 1. We'll see if it's another pitcher's duel tonight. It is early. We'll head to the second after this on the Birds Broadcast Network. We move to the top of the second inning here at Ripken Stadium. No score between the Birds and the Cyclones. Pitching has the upper hand early once again. Michael Ferrett for the Birds and Brendan Gurton for the Clones, each with a 1-2-3 half of their first inning. And now in the top of the second, it's Eli Serrano, Chris Suero, and a Starling Mercado for the Brooklyn Cyclones. Well, Zach, that was a quick first. Both pitchers look great. Could be the storyline tonight.
It could be. And you know what? We were talking beforehand. I love scoring, but I would also not mind a pitcher's duel. Sometimes there's just something about two pitchers pitching really well and dominating that gets you in your feel. So we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll see something in inning two.
Baseball in its purest form. There's a liner out to second. Nice glove on it from Estrada as he picks it up, throws to first. Got the glove on that one on one hop, and it's a one pitch out to retire Eli Serrano. That'll work.
That, you know what? We talked about trusting your defense. Sometimes you gotta let them put the ball in play and let the defense work. That is a perfect example of simply letting them put in play. A nice rip there. And, you know, you got to trust your fielders. Aaron Estrada makes it happen.
So here's Chris Suero, the catcher. He was 2-for-5 in the series opener on Tuesday. His first two ABs were a big difference in the game. He had a two-run homer in the second and followed that with a two-run homer in the third. As Brooklyn opened up with an 8-1 lead early, they held on to win 8-7. The Birds had a late rally. And that pitch up and in got a piece of Suero barely. That might not have even grazed his body. It might have hit jersey or, honestly, arm guard.
Yeah, that's one of those where it hit some sort of cloth. I'm not sure if we got any body there, but you take it for, you know, you get on base.
That's
you
the
get
one,
running on base.
That's the one where the guys in the dugout are saying, don't rub it, or we got ice.
Yeah,
it doesn't
barely
hits you.
Yeah, you know, you'll take it. Runners on base, especially we were just talking about, you know, pitchers 1-2-3 in the first inning. Got to find a way to get on base every once in a while.
First base runner of the game for either team. Here's a Starling Mercado, the first baseman, the six hitter in the lineup. No score, top of the second, one out, one on. Ferret needed just 14 pitches through 10 strikes to get through the first. Very efficient early on. First pitch, breaking ball down in the zone. It's 1-0. So, Zach, I'm gonna throw this out at you. I mentioned earlier on the broadcast that Ferret has 7 different pitches that he can work with. We're going to dissect them a little bit. So the hard stuff, he's got the four-seam and the two-seam fastball. So just the fact that he has those two fastballs to work with, that's a great start. Runner takes off, 1-0, swing and a miss. Throw down from Stafford, a little bit offline, and it's a stolen base for Chris Suero. So he's down at second. And then in terms of the off-speed stuff, he's got a slider, a sweeper, and then a different version of a slider that's called a death ball that was popularized by Tread Athletics, where Michael Ferret works in the offseason. And then on top of that, he's got a regular changeup and a kick changeup.
The kick change is the new thing. Everyone's got a kick change as we – ooh.
Suero takes off for 30, gets there without a throw. So now the Cyclones have a runner there with only one out.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about how things can escalate, and you need to take advantage of opportunities. Sometimes it's just about getting a guy on. Suero gets hit, and then all of a sudden steals second and third. So now runners in scoring position, one out, just manufacture – put yourself in scoring position.
Infield in all the way around for the Birds. Counts 2-1 on Mercado. Next pitch in the dirt, smothered by Stafford. That's a heck of a block right there to keep that one in front.
And Stafford's, he's going to want the third or second back. He had it. It seemed like he had Suero, just a throw that veered off to the right a little bit. So you like to see the confidence right back, still blocking balls. You know, guy on third, you have to as a pitcher. Your pitcher has to trust you that you're going to, you know, get down and dirty in those situations to protect a run.
3-1, check swing, and oh, he didn't go. Wow, it looked like he had that. You take a look at the two check swings that the base umpire Brooks Pritchett said the Ironbirds went around on in the first. That one looked more egregious, and they said he didn't go.
Yeah, that, and, you know, it seems like in that situation with a runner on third, home plate umpire is going to check to the field ump on that one. The prior two, he's making the calls himself. So very interesting there. Wonder if that had anything to do with the, I guess, lack of swing call there.
So now runners at first and third with one out for the Cyclones. DeAndre Smith, the designated hitter, is up. No score top of the second, but that could change as the Cyclones are threatening. The Birds will play for two in the middle with Arias and Estrada. Ferret out of the stretch, trying to get out of trouble. First pitch, fly ball to center field, over and is over, a little bit towards right center. He gets behind it, makes the catch, throw goes into second. It's a sacrifice fly for DeAndre Smith, and the Cyclones lead it 1-0.
And you know what? We'll bring it up. Right there, hit by pitch, steal second, steal third. Get yourself in scoring position for the Cyclones. And then suddenly, you know, if Suero, if he's just sitting on first base there, if he's just on second, fly ball does nothing. Got himself in scoring position, and then they didn't even need a hit to go out and bring the run in. So that's just putting yourself – that's creating runs there.
That's exactly it. And that's kind of Ironbirds baseball right there. You get on, find a way on, doesn't matter how, and guys run wild. That's what the Cyclones just did. So now with two outs and a runner at first, here's Nick Roselli, throw over to first. And Roselli still awaiting the first pitch of the AB. Ferret, with his fastball, tops out around 97, so he can really bring it. Normally sits in the mid-90s range. Number 8 prospect in the Orioles system. He is a fast-rising prospect. Misses high and away there with the fastball, and the count is 1-0. So it's 1-0 Brooklyn. Early lead for the Cyclones. The Birds got down big early in game one of the series, but they rallied to get within one in the ninth. They fell short last night. A 2-1 wire-to-wire win for the Birds. We are even at a game apiece in the series. 1-0, that misses high.
It's all about limited damage here. You have to find a way out of this inning, obviously. Guy on first. You just want to get this out here. Don't want to let the inning go any further, obviously. 2-0 count, you got to find it out here. You don't want to put more guys on and make life harder for yourself.
2-0 drops that one in there for a strike. That's a big comeback pitch from Ferret. He's already hit a batter and walked one in the inning. But he has two outs and a chance to see himself through this inning. Went 4 2/3 scoreless with 5 strikeouts in his season debut, 5 shutout innings, 5 more strikeouts his last time out. 2-1, that misses high. So the fact that early on this season he's going a little bit deeper into games, 4 2/3, then 5, and that's what's considered deep early on in the system, especially in the Orioles, early on in the season, especially in the Orioles system. They're protecting these guys' arms, but it's good to see Ferret getting into the fifth or completing it in his first two outings. Pitch fouled away by Roselli, and the count's full.
Yeah, and that's why an inning like this, you might not think about it when you get to the fifth inning, but this is a big inning for if you're Ferret, you have to get out of here, hopefully in the next 2-3 pitches, so you give yourself that option to go to the fifth, because if suddenly this goes another 10, 12 pitches in this inning, it will start chipping away and making it so it's not possible to go. And then it on the next one?
Right on cue. Breaking ball in on the hands. Roselli swings through it. He is gone on strikes. And the inning is over. The Cyclones grab a run. They do it without a hit. No errors. And they leave one after 1.5. The Birds trail 1-0. We'll head to the bottom of the first and see if the Birds can get that run back or more on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the second inning here in Aberdeen. Brooklyn 1, Aberdeen nothing. The Birds and Cyclones tied at a game apiece. Now as we go into game 3 of this 6-game series, a run for the Cyclones in the second, but Michael Ferret limited the damage. Now here in the bottom of the second, the Birds will send 4, 5, and 6 up. Ethan Anderson, Leandro Arias, and Anderson De Los Santos. Conversation right now out near the mound between Brendan Gurton, the Brooklyn starter, and the base umpire Brooks Pritchett. But it looks like we are ready to resume play. Gurton got through the first on 15 pitches through 12 strikes. He was all around the zone. A couple of strikeouts and a lineout. First pitch to Ethan Anderson, misses high. Well, Ethan Anderson's 9-game hitting streak was snapped last night, but he did walk in the game to extend his on-base streak to 10 games to open up the season. 1-0 pitch, and that one misses as well. It's 2-0. So on the 9-game hit streak, Anderson hit .361 with a .465 on base, had 4 extra base hits, drove in 11 runs, and he walked almost as many times as he struck out. 2-0, way inside again. It's 3-0.
And just like we were talking about in the top half of the inning, you don't always need a hit to get a runner on base. Obviously, then you got the hit by a pitch that led to them manufacturing a run. 3-0 count here for Anderson. If it's nothing good, take your base.
3-0, taking all the way, and that's ball four. Well, that one was the best of the four that Gurton just offered, but called a ball. And Anderson extends his on-base streak to 11 games. The 11-gamer is tied for the longest in the South Atlantic League this season, and that's all the games that he's played in. So it's great to see Anderson finding different ways on base. It's not always – some nights you just don't hit your way on, and that was last night. But he found a way on. He ended up scoring the first run for the Birds last night, using his wheels to do that. Now we'll see if he does it again. He's at first for Leandro Arias. Pitch gets away from Suero, and immediately Anderson takes off for second. He's in with a head-first dive without a throw. And Anderson advancing on the wild pitch.
It feels a little deja vu. Opening guy gets on without a hit and then advances to second on the first pitch. Cyclones were able to take advantage of it in the top half. If you're the Ironbirds here, you want to take advantage of this as well. You'll get at least three opportunities, it seems, with runners and runner in scoring position. Don't even, you know, a productive out here helps as well. Ground out to the second baseman, maybe a fly ball to right field. Get the runner over to the third and put your team in a better situation here.
Birds down one out. Now time called by the catcher, Suero. Arias steps back in. Well, Arias is a bat-to-ball guy. His strikeout rate is only 9.8% this season. That's among the best in all of minor league baseball. This guy puts the bat on the ball. 1-0, shows bunt there, but pulls back and takes high. And, Zach, let me run this by you right here. So I mentioned the 9.8 K rate this season. Coming into tonight's game, Arias is 29th in all of minor league baseball and 8th in all players at high A who have had at least 40 plate appearances on the season. I mean, that's pretty exceptional.
I was going to say that's pretty good. And you know, you talk about bat-to-ball skill. If you can avoid striking out and you put the ball in play, in a situation like this, you know, we talked about you don't even need a hit here to be productive. If you can just go out there and find a way to get the runner to the third, put the ball in play. You put the ball in play here, most likely something good's going to happen.
Big hole on the left side. Gurton steps off and throws to second to keep Anderson close, so he's clearly worried about him over there. The count is 2-1 on Arias, who enters play tonight hitting .353 with an .821 OPS. He's driven in 7 on the year. Let's see if he can make it 8 right now. 2-1 pitch coming his way. Here it is from Gurton. Popped up middle of the diamond, shallow center.
It's going to be interesting.
Carries to medium center, and Anderson stays put at second as that ball is caught by Serrano in the middle of the outfield. Well, I thought that one was an infield pop-up to start.
It kept on going. So, we'll, you know, obviously we said you got to put the ball in play. He did that, you know, it's well the few times if you put the ball in play there, the pop-up's not going to get the runner over, but you still have an opportunity now. You know, that's what's so big about getting the runner to second is now you have another opportunity to score.
Here's Anderson De Los Santos, the right-handed hitting first baseman, with one out and Ethan Anderson still at second.
You know, Mike, earlier this week, I'm actually 2-for-2 so far this week on the show. On Tuesday, I called Juan Soto for the Mets hitting a home run, that correct. And actually today, called Gunnar Henderson hitting a home run, hit one in the first. So Mets and Orioles, I've called one for each team. I think it's only right I make a prediction here, and it's De Los Santos. I think tonight we see De Los Santos go yard.
Okay.
Got to plant my flag here in the second inning.
So you've got DLS going yard tonight. I like that.
It's just something speaking to me. You know, it's in the wind.
I think you get some pretty good odds on that in Vegas because he's not – he probably wouldn't be the popular favorite among these Ironbirds hitters, but I think that's a sneaky good pick.
Yeah, you know, I'm just I was looking through the lineup, and he immediately grabbed my eye. And, you know, I was like, you know what, De Los Santos, DLS, well, let's put one over the fence here tonight.
Well, he's riding a season-long four-game hitting streak right now that started on April 10th. 0-2, fouls one away to stay alive, so he is seeing the ball well. And he's hitting it hard. He ripped a triple to the left center gap in the series opener on Tuesday. How about we add an extra base to that tonight?
You know, how about we just put one? You know, you don't even need to go in the gap. Just put it over, you know, left field wall. Let's, you know, we can short porch it there. It can go, you know, just by the pole. We don't need to go dead center or anything.
No, I mean, it's just got to get over. It doesn't matter how. Yeah. It counts the same whether you hit it .450 or .325, you know?
Exactly. We're going to get a little meeting of the umpires here.
Yeah, and we've seen that throughout the series. Frank Jones and Brooks Pritchett, the home plate and base umpires respectively, have chatted often throughout this series. There have been some interesting calls throughout this series, Zach. I mean, we're talking everything from batter interference, balks, you know, drop third appeals. I've never seen an umpiring crew call this many guys out on strikes on the appeal down to either first or third. It's been a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, we've already seen some questionable ones today.
Good take from De Los Santos, high and away, and the count is 1-2. This is a good AB from your guy right here.
I'm telling you, there was just something in the air. I like the way he's seeing the ball. I think this is the one.
If he does it in this at bat, man.
I've already thought about it.
1-2, fights another one off. Well, like Overn did leading off the first, De Los Santos is seeing a lot of pitches here in the second. The tying run is out at second base. That's Ethan Anderson. He walked and got to second on a wild pitch. The Birds trail 1-0, but we're only in the bottom of the second. A lot of ball to play tonight. Big hole on the right side for De Los Santos. Anderson takes off for third. Pitch misses high. Throw down is right there, but Anderson beat it.
Woo! I'll tell you, that ball beat him, but just getting that right hand underneath the mitt, that was a big play. Reimer with the quick tag, but Anderson, I'll say it, I think it was the right call. It looked like he just got that arm underneath or that hand underneath, and now once again, you don't need a hit to get an RBI here. Put one in the outfield, and good things are going to happen.
Runner at third, one out, and Ethan Anderson now leads the Ironbirds with 8 stolen bases this season. He has 8 for 9 swiping bags, and this is a guy who stole less than 10 bags his entire college career. 2-2, flip foul. And I was talking to Ethan about it the other day when I interviewed him, and I said, like, have you always been a base stealer, or at least somebody who's thought about it? He said, not really. Like, college, you know, I just didn't do it. Like, that wasn't part of my game. But you get into this Orioles organization, and everybody becomes a base stealer.
And that's what, you know, you hope trickles up to the major league squad because, ooh.
2-2, called strike 3 on the outer half. So De Los Santos is gone on strikes, and Zach's home run picked a click. We'll have to wait at least one more AB.
Yeah, you know, hopefully we get an AB too. But, you know, if you're from an Ironbirds perspective, that's a tough one for you to swallow because not only, you know, does DLS go down looking with the guy on third base, but he was having a hell of an at-bat. You know, he's battling off pitches, and you felt like, you know, just he's got to just put one in play. Unfortunately, you know, he must have been looking for something else. Gets the pitch right down the middle and, you know, kind of stalled him for a sec.
Here's Jaylen Vasquez, the left-handed hitting third baseman for the Birds. He's up with 2 outs and Ethan Anderson at third. Birds down a run. 0-1, grounded foul over towards the Birds' dugout. Counts 0-2. Well, last season, Jaylen played in 96 games for the Ironbirds. Posted a 101 rate, weighted runs created plus, so above league average. Walked in 15% of his plate appearances, so this is a guy who knows the strike zone. And even when he's battling through some games where he's not hitting well, he can find his way on base because of that eye at the plate. Gurdon out of the windup, 0-2, that's high.
And we talk about the eye at the plate. That's another thing that it feels like this organization preaches is, you know, having a good feel for the strike zone, having a good eye at the plate, being able to take those close pitches and, you know that, you know, have confidence in it. So, I think there's a reason for some of these guys when they, you know, get into these situations where you sit there and you're like, hey, these guys aren't striking out. They'll find their way on base even if it's not through a hit. We even see it all the way up, you know, in AA, AAA, and in the majors for the Orioles. Some of these guys coming up, their bread and butter is, hey, even if they're not hitting, they're going to find a way on base, whether it's getting a walk, you know, maybe, you know, laying down a bunt, whatever it may be. It's just finding a way on base.
Counts 3-2 on Vasquez. He's worked it full. Jaylen got off to a hot start in April last year. We'll see if he can get going this time around in April. 3-2. Called third on the outer half.
Nasty.
A good backdoor breaking ball from Brendan Gurdon. Went with the sweeper there, and the inning is over. So two more strikeouts give him 4 in the game, and the Ironbirds strand the tying run over at third base. We've played 2 here in the Dean. We'll head to the third after a quick break on MILB TV and Bally Live. Top of the third inning here in Aberdeen. Michael Ferrett back to work. The Birds down 1-0 to the Cyclones. The Birds stranded the tying run on third base in the bottom of the second. We'll see if Ferrett can keep this a one-run game. He gets Jeffrey De Los Santos, Boston Barrow, and Rafael Ortega. 9-1-2 in the order. Not to be confused with Zach's home run pick tonight, Anderson De Los Santos. Here is Jeffrey De Los Santos for the Cyclones, the nine-hole hitter. He's in left field tonight, left-handed swinger. First pitch from Ferrett misses outside 1-0.
You know, we actually just had the chicken dance playing between the innings. And for Ferrett here, you know, speaking, you know, the chicken dance, you can't be chicken here against the nine-hole hitter. You got to go after him, you know, with the top of the lineup coming up next. The one thing you can't do is let the nine-hole guy get on base and set kind of the tone for the top of the lineup. You know, go after this guy and try to get an out.
I like that transition right there.
You know,
Taking notes in between innings.
Yeah, you know, you got taking the surroundings. I try. I try my hardest.
That's just elite awareness. 1-1, swing and a miss. Good fastball there. Ferret just blew it by De Los Santos. I mean, you're not just worried about what's going on in the booth out on the diamond. You're seeing everything.
You know, I got to make sure the fans are, you know, sticking in the game. I heard the chicken song, and I had to peek over, you know, make sure everyone was engaged. The energy in the ballpark's good. I'm liking where we stand right now.
Vibes are good in the park tonight, for sure. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Zach Bollinger's here with me. 1-2, swing and a miss. Good one down in the zone. Went with the changeup there, and that's strikeout number three for Ferret. So, Zach, just as you mentioned, got to get that nine-hole man. He did.
Yeah, and that's going to be important because especially with the top of the lineup, yes, he was able to go 1-2-3 versus the top of the lineup to start the game. But, you know, these are very good hitters for the Cyclones. You know, they're going to get theirs eventually. So you don't want what happened last inning where you let the leadoff guy get on. He finds his way to third, and then you don't give up a single hit, but yet there's still a run on the scoreboard. You limit that big time. If you're able to get that first out, you know, you can – even if they get a guy on, you know, if it's a single, if it's a walk, you got the double play, and you know, in order. There's just so much more at hand if you're able to get that first guy out.
0-1 grounded foul up the first baseline. It's 0-2. Well, it looks good tonight. And, Zach, last year when I had Michael Ferrett join me on an episode of All Mic'd Up late in the season, and I always ask these guys some fun questions. It doesn't always have to be baseball. Started to talk food with Ferrett. And I always love talking to these guys about food. So we'll jump into that after this 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, half-hearted check swing. Ferrett picks up strikeout number four, and he picks up sword number one. That was filthy.
I was going to say, that's a sword if I've ever seen one. Just Barrow had no chance at all. That's one of those where he was committing to swinging beforehand. He thought he saw it well out of the hand, and then halfway through his swing, you get that idea that you're like, I got no chance on this one. So walking back to the dugout after that, what a pitch.
I got to send that one to Rob Friedman, the pitching ninja. That was disgusting. I mean, he had him all kinds of fooled. Two up, two down. Here's Rafael Ortega. So last year I asked Ferrett, like, what are your go-to foods? What are the go-to meals? Said he loves a ribeye steak. He'll cook up a steak on start days. I'm going to have to ask him if he did it today. But he's also a big blackened chicken and pasta guy.
Okay.
Excellent choices.
I was going to say, that is some fantastic choices to need to know about the steak on start days. You know, if you had the steak beforehand, that's probably why we got that sword right there.
You got to hit the protein goals.
Yeah, you don't get those swords if you don't hit those proteins.
Counts 2-0 on Ortega, swing and a miss. Good one there. A lot of swings and misses from Ferrett early, but, I mean, the steak is always a good choice. I mean, you can never go wrong with a steak. And, I mean, the blackened chicken, I was like, that's a power move right there.
That is pasta. Oh, my gosh, blackened chicken with pasta.
And you need your carbs, too. Like, these pitchers, like, you gotta stay fueled up.
Yeah, blackened chicken with some pasta is such an elite, easy meal. And, you know, I'm looking at Ferrett. I'm more confident in him as a prospect now after hearing this. Sometimes you can feel when a guy gets it, and that feels like one of those situations.
He gets it. I mean, that's elite stuff. I mean, these are young guys. We're talking about last year. He was 20 years old. This year, just turned 21. I mean, this is not like your chicken tenders and fries meals.
No.
I mean, these guys are eating good.
These guys are eating good, and I think he's going to want to eat good on this pitch here.
2-2, low and in. Ooh. He's got a chance to strike out the side in order here in the third. We'll see if he can do it.
Went for that, see if he could get a little sword action again there. Unable to get the bite, though.
Ortega fighting to stay alive. 3 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs, no one on. Ferret set on the mound, out of the windup, payoff pitch. Just got a piece, and he fouled it away. Well, both starting pitchers have looked really good tonight. Ferret and then Gurton for the Cyclones. Not a lot of offense early, and that's been a theme over the last two nights. It was not a theme in the series opener. 15 combined runs between the squads. 3-2 again. Broken bat grounder right back to him. Ferret flips to first, and the inning is over. Two strikeouts, and he's showing off the PFP work with the bat coming right at him. No problem. And the inning is over. 2.5 in the books here in the Dean. We'll head to the bottom of the third after this on MILB TV and Bally Live. Bottom three here in the Dean. It's 1-0 Brooklyn over Aberdeen. Michael Marcantonini bringing you the play-by-play tonight. As always, I've got my guy Zach Bollinger from the Ryan Ripken Show joining me in the booth. Zach was here twice with me in the Dean last year. I returned the favor and joined him and the guys on the Ryan Ripken Show a couple times. Once virtually, another time I jumped in with you guys in studio, which was awesome, and I got to get back there this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to get to the new studio. We got some upgrades, a lot more fun than last time just sitting on some couches. So we have bar tops now, so a lot more fun. A lot of room for activity. Got some pool table
going.
Yeah,
the pool table, yeah. That's big time. That's a power move. 1-0 pitch to Anudis Mordani. Sends it in the air to deep left center. Serrano on his horse. He won't get it. It's all the way to the wall. It hops up the middle of that wall, and Mordan's around second, heading for third now. He gets caught in between, but the throw goes wide of third, and Mordan gets back to second. But on one pitch, a leadoff double for Anudis Mordan. The Birds have their first hit, and they've got the tying runner in scoring position.
And that's what you want to see. Mordan, he's going to be kicking himself for misreading that throw from the outfield. He should be sitting on third base right now, completely sailed over the cutoff man, but he was already – kind of like you said, caught in between. And in that, I'm taking, you know, if you're going to go back, if you know you can get back, just get back. Don't take a chance, especially don't make the first out at third in an inning.
Especially on a hit, you know.
Exactly. You don't need to, you know, you're in scoring position already. Let the bats go to work.
Here's Angel Tejada, who shows bunt and misses it, pulls back, but count is 0-1. 1-0 Brooklyn over Aberdeen, bottom three. The Birds are looking for some runs. Got to get Zach on the board. Can't come in here and get shut out. We do not need that.
I know. We got to find a run here somewhere, boys.
This is Tejada's season debut tonight. Takes a strike inside. It's 0-2. He was in extended spring training to start the year because he was still recovering from a hand injury that he suffered last season. But he is back and healthy, and it's always fun talking to Angel. I get to practice my Spanish talking to him around the batting cage. And he's working on his English a little bit, so we're kind of helping each other out.
Just people helping people.
That's
you love
it.
To see it.
0-2 in the dirt, and that's a nice take right there. And so I'm going to get a chance to use it at some point, but Angel, when he hit a walk-off home run last year, I said, you know, deep drive to left, that ball is not coming back.
Yeah.
And he told me the other day around the cage that his parents loved that call. and he taught me how to say it in Spanish.
Oh.
So I'm going to use it at some point when he goes deep.
Now, talk about electric. That is what just
grounded to the right side. That's through into the outfield for a base hit. Here comes Mordan from second. The throw cut off. The throw goes to second, and Tejada's safe. It's an RBI single to tie the game for Angel Tejada in his first at-bat of the season, and he gets to second on the throw.
You know, there are some nice ways to start off your season, and then there's that. You know, beautiful opposite field hit, and finding the gap between second and first. They're going to play you over in that shift a little bit, puts it in the gap, and then after that, an incredible slide. Pitcher's going to want that back thrown to second. Probably should have had him right there, but, you know, beautiful slide that gets around the tag. And now, once again, just trading spots. Another guy in scoring position, and we are officially on the board. No shutout
yes,
here.
Yes, sir. We are tied at one, bottom three. Go-ahead runs at second now as Mordan and Tejada trade places. Leadoff man over and takes a big cut, fouls it into the glove of Suero, and the count's 0-1. So Tejada not only was that a textbook piece of hitting through the shift, hustling to get to second, and a really good slide, got that hand on the back part of the base to avoid a potential tag.
Little swim move action, which you love to see from the guys.
So the Birds have Gerton on the ropes, 0-1. Over and pulls back a bunt, throw goes to second. And I don't think the shortstop Barrow was expecting that.
I don't think a single person on the field besides the catcher was expecting a throw down to second there. Even Tejada had to get out of the way. Didn't slide. Had to just put the hands over the head and hope to not catch one in the dome.
That's exactly it.
Just glad everyone's okay on that throw.
Corners come in expecting a potential bunt, and now Gerton steps off to throw to second. So they are worried about Tejada over there, and we'll see if Overton decides to drop one down. And Overton is one of a handful of guys in this lineup. If he squares the bunt, even if it looks like he's giving himself up, he's got a chance to beat it out. He's that fast.
And you can tell just in the infield, the way they're pitching, the way that they've been thrown down to second, they're expecting some sort of bunt as
they
see
it
there.
Up the third baseline, throw from Suero to first, not in time, Overton beat it. Well, MLB Pipeline grades Overton's speed as a 75 out of 80 on the scouting scale, and we just saw it right there. Dropped one down, squared early, but even though it looked like he was sacrificing, he's bunting for a base hit, and now it's first and third for the
Birds. I was just going to say, Mike, what were you just saying about even if it looks like he's giving himself up, he's got that speed? And I would not be surprised if we don't see Overton on first base very long, I think, especially with the guy on third. Maybe put some guys in motion. Let's see if maybe we can get a big inning from the Birds here.
Overton is 4-for-4 swiping bags this year. No outs. Runners at the corners for Aaron Estrada. He struck out swinging his first time up on a pitch down in the dirt. Overton takes off for second right on cue, but Estrada fouls it away down the left field line. And for a lot of teams, when a guy goes and then batter fouls it off, you're like, ah, he's got to go back. Not really an issue for the Birds because he can just do it again. He's that fast.
I wish I had speed. I was not someone who ever was able to be on the base paths like that. You know, I'm more of a I'll jog, you know.
0-1. Chopper to the left side. That's going to get a run in, and everybody's safe. An infield RBI single for Aaron Estrada. He chopped that one high off the plate, way up in the air out to short. By the time it came down in Boston Barrow's glove, no chance to get anybody. So Tejada's in to score. It's 2-1 Birds. Over into second. And Estrada to first as he drives in another run.
We might be in Aberdeen, but we had a little Baltimore chop action there to get the run in. Give them the lead. And, you know, once again, we're sitting no outs. Men on first and second. You got a lot of speed out there still. This is a big opportunity for the Ironbirds. Let's put a crooked number up here. You know, when you get the opportunities, you know, you said last night you score in the first inning and then you just have to hold on from there. Don't get much offense after that. You know, already today, you know, they get their first hit of the game in the third inning. You want to keep it going. If you get the opportunity to keep this thing going, pass it on to the next guy. No one's got to be a hero. You know, keep advancing runners over. You know, little singles. Not everyone needs to swing for the fences. You know, put up a crooked number here.
First and second, no outs for the Birds. The first four have reached. A double from Mordan. Tejada singled him home. Got to second on the throw. Overn with a bunt base hit, and then Estrada, a Baltimore chop infield RBI single, and the Birds lead it 2-1. They can break this open against Brendan Gerton, the right-hander for the Cyclones, looking to get an out after the mound visit. Now he steps off and looks over and back to second. The Birds have him on the ropes right here, and Zach, not only can the Birds put up a crooked number, but you can be sitting pretty in terms of the run column for your broadcast.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but this is actually a massive inning for us. You know, this is for, you know, I hope not to be selfish, but they need to get this done for me.
Bunted in front of the plate. It's a fair ball. Throw to first. It's a successful sacrifice for Ryan Stafford. That ball just kind of died on the first base chalk line. It was a good thing that ball stayed fair because it works out as an excellent bunt to now put two in scoring position with only one out.
That is the shortest bunt I have ever seen in my life, and I've been watching a lot of baseball, Mike. I don't think I've ever seen a bunt go straight down and sit to the point where the batter and catcher stare at it below them
right.
and are like, oh, that's fair. So, like you said, though, you get the guys over. Now another opportunity. You don't even need a hit to get the guys in.
Second and third, one out. Here's Ethan Anderson. First pitch swinging, grounds one out to second. This will bring the run home. It's 3-1 Birds. Overn scores, and Anderson thrown out on the 4-3 putout. But an RBI ground out. Ethan Anderson doing a job. Birds have a little insurance right now.
Just like I'm saying, it doesn't take, you know, this big, you don't need the big fly. You don't need the, you know, gapper. You don't even need the single. Sometimes when you're in that situation, they're playing the middle infielders back. They got the corners up to go home if it brings them forward. Hit a simple ground ball routine play to the second baseman. Yes, it goes down as a ground out, but it also goes down as an RBI, which is important.
Yeah, Ryan Stafford helped set that up with the excellent sacrifice bunt. It's the little things that's not going to show up in the box score. It's not his RBI, but he contributed to that run coming
yes.
home. Here's the 1-0 pitch to Leandro Arias, fouled away.
And that's something that, you know, it doesn't show up in the box score all the time. But it's the things that not only the organization, you know, sees, but, you know, these coaches see. It is that selfless, hey, I'll put down the bunt because it's going to help put this team in a better situation.
Ground ball to short. Might have broke his bat. Tough play for Barrow. Off-balance throw to first. Arias retired to end the inning. But a very productive inning for the Birds. They just sent seven men to the plate. They brought home three runs. They did it on four hits, including having the first four of the inning reach via the hit, and they lead it 3-1 after three. We'll head to the top of the fourth and see if Michael Ferret can keep it going here on the Birds Broadcast Network. Top of the fourth inning here in Aberdeen, 3-1 our score. Birds in front, three runs on four hits in a productive bottom of inning number three. And now Michael Ferret has the lead to work with for the first time tonight. We'll see if he can hold it. Jacob Reimer, Eli Serrano, and Chris Suero, 3-4-5 for the Cyclones. Zach, Michael Ferret dialed in a 1-2-3 third, two strikeouts, picked up that sword on the strikeout of Boston Barrow, and then his offense helping him out, three-run cushion.
Yeah, especially after a rough second inning, you know, the hit-by-pitch, the walk leads to a run scored without a hit. So you'd like to see him get his confidence back, the two strikeouts to start the third inning, and then he gets the ground out. A little dodgeball, had to avoid the broken bat
yeah.
flying at him, still gets the job done. So now you get your offense gives you three. You love a shutdown inning here if you're Ferret. Go get him, 1-2-3, and send the boys right back out there.
0-2 fouled off the hands. Well, if you can dodge a bat, you can dodge a ball. That's what they say, right?
Yeah, I think
that's what they said in the movie Dodgeball. That's what Vince Vaughn was doing?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It's the easy training. If you can dodge a bat, you can dodge a ball. We actually will be seeing Michael Ferrett out there in the dodgeball tournaments maybe soon. You know, maybe that's a side thing he'll be doing.
0-2 again, grounded foul up the third baseline. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. The five D's of dodgeball. Come on now. Shout out
Simple.
Patches O'Houlihan, the legend.
Oh, Patches. That's how he wanted to go.
Legendary, man. What a great movie. That's one of the most underrated sports movies out there.
It truly is. It is one of those movies that whenever it's on television, if you're flipping through, you got to watch the rest
yeah,
of it. Dodgeball's just one of those movies where you're like, this is so stupid, but it is the greatest thing ever.
100%. 0-2 on Reimer. Another one from Ferret. This time he gets him with a sweeper low and away. That's strikeout number 5 for Ferret. And he continues to roll. One out in the fourth. That brings up Serrano. Well, Zach, we talked a little bit about the go-to meals for Ferret last inning. That's what he told me on an episode of All Mic'd Up last year. But he also told me he's a big caffeine guy. He's got to get that caffeine in. And that's I know that's huge for pitchers. But he's a big C4 guy. Are you an energy drink guy?
I'm a C4 guy.
You're a
C4
guy.
So okay. I am. I've been trying not to drink as much caffeine recently.
Fly ball down the left field line, but foul out of play.
You know, but I am a massive caffeine guy. You know, maybe I it's not the best, but, you know, if it helps you get through the day, it helps you get through the day. You know, are you a caffeine guy?
Not really. So, I mean, there are very few and far between times where I actually – will need some source of caffeine, but for the most part, I just roll without it.
You know, I respect that.
People think it's crazy that I don't drink some combination of coffee, energy drinks, or any of it, but no. Nah. I just eat a lot throughout the day. That's my main
source of
fuel.
That's your energy, you know, just going off life. I love that.
0-2, swing and a miss, down in the dirt. Stafford picks it up, and he won't even need to apply the tag. Serrano heads back to the dugout by himself. Back-to-back strikeouts for Ferret. He's got a six-pack.
Whatever energy drink he had before the game, and whatever, if it was the blackened chicken pasta or the steak, I would keep going back to it because he seems to have his stuff tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's got half a dozen strikeouts now, and he can pick up those six-packs now that he's 21.
I see what you did there.
You see what I did there? Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Looking for a 1-2-3 inning, gets another swing and a miss. Chris Suero down in the count 0-1. He was hit by a pitch in the second, stole third, came in to score on a sack fly. Birds lead it 3-1, top of the fourth, as Ferret looks for a shutdown inning. He's allowed just one run so far through three outings this year. A one pitch, missed a little bit high. Ferret trying to complete the fourth inning for the third time this year. He went 4 2/3 in his first outing, then 5 last time. That was on April 12th at Jersey Shore. He has been really good tonight. 1-1, check swing, appeal, no swing. And the count goes to 2-1. Well, Ferret has not allowed a base runner since he walked Mercado with one out in the second. Since then, he has retired 7 in a row. Can he make it 8 to get out of this fourth?
You love Ferret having the strikeout pitch going. And, you know, if you're going to find your way, if you're going to get to 6, you might as well get to 7, you know?
Just keep it rolling.
Just keep it rolling. You know, if the hitters aren't seeing it well out of your hand, we've seen a few times, obviously, with the swords, a few balls in the dirt that he's getting swing and misses on. It feels like he's in the driver's seat right now, which is something that we've talked about. You love to see from the 21-year-old. You love to see kind of the maturity on the mound. He didn't allow that rough second inning. You know, the command kind of got away from him a little bit at times. Didn't allow that to affect him. Got right back out there when he got a clean inning in the third. 1-2-3, and now he's gotten the first two again on strikeouts.
2-2, swing and a miss. Fastball right by him. 3 straight strikeouts for Michael Ferret in a 1-2-3 fourth inning. He is dialed in tonight, and he blows away Suero to end the frame. So we will go to the bottom of the fourth and see if the Birds can get Ferret some more run support. Stay locked in with Zach and I on MILB TV and Bally Live. Back for the bottom of the fourth here in Aberdeen. Michael and Zach with you on the broadcast tonight. It's the Birds 3 and the Clones 1. Michael Ferret has retired 8 batters in a row. He just struck out the side in order in the fourth, and he has struck out 6 of the last 7 batters that he faced. Zach, he's just been so good tonight, and now he's got the lead to work with. Birds looking to add on.
Yeah, if you're the Ironbirds, not only are you loving what you're seeing from Michael Ferret tonight, but you're loving that the offense gave him some runs, give him that 3-1 lead, and let him go to work right now. So gets the offense right back on the field, and let's see if they can maybe expand this lead a little bit. You know, keep the momentum from last inning where we saw the hits start to fall, the momentum start to go in their favor. See if they can ride that a little bit.
55 pitches for Ferret through 4 innings. For context, the Brooklyn starter, Brendan Gurton, was at 53 through 3. So Ferret a little bit more efficient tonight, and it's been very consistent. Pitches by inning, 14, 14, 14, 13. He's mowing them down. Here's the 2-0 to Anderson De Los Santos. It's 3-0. Zach, they're pitching around your guy.
They know the pick to click tonight. You know what? We're going 3-0. Maybe we're sitting fastball here. Maybe this is the opportunity. You know, he gets in the hitter's count. Let's see if we can make some magic happen.
3-0. He did swing 3-0.
He was swinging.
Tipped it into the glove of Suero. He's ready.
I like that. He, like you said, he's ready. He's not looking for a walk. I'm feeling good right here.
And that's a situation where it's a big difference between the big leagues and the minor leagues. In the big leagues, in not this early in the game, you're probably not taking that big of a hack. Yeah. You're trying to work your way on. But in the minor leagues, go take your hack. This is the time to work on that. And then he takes ball 4
there. They're scared. They understand. They know that he's due for the long ball tonight. They know what's going on. I respect it, but you know, they are getting in the way of the pick to click.
Well, he's probably going to hit 2 more times tonight. So, Zach, we got some other opportunities. Well, here is Jaylen Vasquez with a runner at first and no outs. Vasquez got off to a hot start last year in April. In the month of April, he hit 302 with a .456 on base percentage during the 2024 season. He had 5 extra base hits, and he drove in 8 during the month while walking more times than he struck out. So he's looking to get going here. Pitch misses low. Well, this is a guy, when he gets hot, he can look like the best player out on the field at any time. He is that dynamic of a player. I mean, he's so smooth in the field. The bat, I mean, talking line drives into the gap. He's got speed. Just waiting for him to get going. Third baseman Reimer is in a little bit. 1-0 takes a strike, 1-1.
And, you know, with a guy, you know, trying to get his feet underneath him, trying to find that kind of breakout game, I understand why Reimer and them, they have, you know, bring the infielders in or at least the corners in because, you know, Vasquez is going to try to get on base any way he can right now. You know, try to jumpstart it either way, and I would not be surprised if maybe you do see him lay something down here trying to just find his way on base.
Middle infielders back as they pinch for 2. Long pause on the mound from Gurton, and he moves over to first. Well, last season, Vasquez, among Orioles minor league position players that had at least 350 plate appearances, Vasquez ranked 12th in on-base percentage. That's really solid to be that high on that list with so much talent on the position player side in this system. He was 2nd in walk percentage, so he continued to draw his walks all season. As he tries to drop a bunt down, back to the pitcher, throw goes to 2nd. They get the out there. So an unsuccessful sacrifice attempt for Vasquez. De Los Santos thrown out on the 1-4 putout. And Vasquez at first. Well, if you're going to look at a positive there, a little bit more speed on the bases now.
Yeah, maybe this is where you try to make something happen. You know, this is where you go, you try to steal second. Find a way to put pressure continuously on Brooklyn because when you run, simple things like bunts, you know, that he gets the guy out at second, but, you know, it's a difficult throw, you know, to catch it, immediately turn and rip one to second. Very easily could have, you know, gone just past the second baseman, stuff like that. Putting pressure on the defense is going to help you more ways than it's not. That's why I always like when you have a guy capable of stealing, try to steal a base. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe you get an overthrow and he's sitting on third.
First pitch to Anudis Mordan misses outside. Vasquez with good speed at first with one down. Mordan ripped a double to deep left center his first time up. We'll see if that gets him going. Action in both bullpens. Right-hander Ty Weatherly loosening up for the Birds and right-hander Joel Diaz in the pen for Brooklyn. 1-0. Mordaunt takes outside. It's 2-0. That's a good take right there. Birds lead at 3-1, home half of the fourth. They brought all three of those runs in on four hits in the third inning. And now a runner on in the fourth, trying to get Vasquez home. Gurton was drafted in the 10th round out of Oklahoma last season. He made his pro debut in late August. Ended up making three appearances, one start with the low-A St. Lucie Mets. And now in his first full pro season, starting with high-A Brooklyn. He's been solid so far, trying to get himself a little bit deeper into this outing. But the Birds trying to wear him down even more. Gurton set, Vasquez stays put, Mordaunt takes high, that's ball four. And the Birds have runners at first and second with one out. Zach, I smell another rally right here.
And you know that, I love that at bat. It's so easy after a guy, you know, goes to sack bunt, he gets, you know, the runner thrown out at second. You know you have speed on at first. Sometimes you can get a little antsy. You want to go up there, put one in the gap, you know, allow that guy to use his speed to get home. He completely controlled the at-bat the entire time. Take the four pitch. If they're not going to throw you anything competitive, don't swing. You know, go take your walk.
We've got a pitching change here in Aberdeen. Right-hander Joel Diaz coming in to replace right-hander Brendan Gurton. And, Zach, why don't we keep it here? You know, you don't get a chance to get to Aberdeen that often. We might as well take advantage of the time we have to talk. So just to set the scene for the new pitcher Diaz coming in, runners at first and second and one out for the Ironbirds. They lead it 3-1 here in the bottom of the fourth inning in game three of this six-game series. But, Zach, you've gotten a chance to do a lot of cool things with the crew from the Ryan Ripken Show. Of course, Ryan Ripken, Rocco DeSangro, Kevin Ostreicher, Brad Smith, and, of course, you. It's the big five right there. You guys are doing some awesome stuff. Tell me about the trip down to New Orleans, getting a chance to be on Radio Row for the Super Bowl this year.
Honestly, one of the coolest things I've gotten to do. Just so many people that you get to meet there. It is you walk around, and there are times where you do get starstruck. I mean, some of the top players out there. No, he's not a big fan favorite here, but, you know, getting to, you know, get up close and watch guys like Joe Burrow talk, you know, Myles Garrett talk, some of these big names, you know, big-time NFL players all around, all the media guys out there. Just really cool to be a part of, and it's just everyone is so nice. Everyone is just so cool. It honestly is just one big event where people are celebrating, you know, a long football season coming to an end, a lot of content. But, you know, that New Orleans was a very fun time. Got to see a lot of cool things, you know, getting to meet a lot of people. And so that was definitely one of those trips that I'll always remember, just from an aspect of the incredible people I got to meet.
That's incredible. And I've never been down to New Orleans, never gotten to hit Bourbon Street. I know you guys had some fun down there as well. But, you know, this year's Super Bowl, of course, near and dear to my heart. My Birds taking it home.
I was just going to say, got to see the, you know, I wasn't down there for the game, but I will say, walking around New Orleans, I pretty quickly realized it was an Eagles home game. Yeah. I'd say it was about 75% Eagles.
The new pitcher is Joel Diaz. He's finished with his warm-up tosses, and the first pitch to Angel Tejada. Tejada grounds it foul off of his foot, so it's 0-1. Diaz takes over for Brendan Gurton, who so far has allowed three runs in 3 1/3. He's responsible for both runners on base right now, so his line is not closed. He gave up four hits. He walked three. He struck out four. 65 pitches, 38 strikes. So he is done, and Diaz takes over. See if the Birds can cash in. They already lead it by two, but they want more. Big hole on the right side. Now the 0-1 to Tejada. Fly ball to left field, hooking towards the line, and a nice grab by De Los Santos on the run to take a hit and potentially an RBI away from Angel Tejada.
I was going to say that if he if De Los Santos misses that one, I think we see at least two runs score, and maybe we get Tejada on third. Just a very, very nice snag there. You know, a little late jump, but immediately he's able to cover the ground, and all that matters is you catch it. It doesn't matter what the, you know, catch probability or, you know, expected batting average is. All that matters is they got the out there.
So two outs and runners at first and second. Back to the top for Austin Over. And a little bit of background on Diaz. He's 21 years old from San Cristobal in the Dominican Republic. Third appearance of the season, second out of the bullpen. First pitch to Overton misses high, and Diaz has been really good this season. 9 strikeouts and only 1 walk in 8 shutout innings. He's scattered 7 hits, but he has been really good. 4 scoreless in each of his first 2 outings, April 5th against Wilmington, April 12th against Hudson Valley. He has been a shutdown guy. 1-0, Overton takes high again. Brooklyn going to a stopper right here, Zach, after 3 1/3 from Girton, but it's for Aberdeen to be into the Brooklyn bullpen already in the fourth inning, that's a big positive.
Yeah, you know, you talked about them bringing out a stopper. It also shows just how big of an inning they, you know, the Cyclones believe this is. They think, you know, if it's a 2-run game, they can still battle back into this. You know, 2 runs, you get a bloop and a blast, you get a walk and a blast, whatever it may be, you can find 2 runs. They do not want this to get extended. All of a sudden, if it starts leaking into that 3-4 runs, you know, advantage, it gets a little bit tougher.
2-0, Overton takes. This one catches the top of the zone. It's 2-1.
You know, if you're Overton, you know, especially with you got the third baseman having to play a more true third base with the runner on second, it does open up that gap between short and third. If he wants to go over there, it would easily score 1 run and probably put them with at least guys on the corner.
Overton got off to a hot start this season. He homered in the season opener in this ballpark on April 4th. Rips one foul up the first baseline there and has consistently found a way on base early on this season. Through 7 games, he has a .400 on base percentage. So far today, he's reached once in 2 plate appearances. He singled and scored in the 3rd. But he is a guy that can make things happen on the base paths. And he draws his walks, knows the zone well, but so often he hits his way on. Double steal attempt for the Birds. Pitch is swung on and missed, and the inning is over. So Overton down on strikes, and Diaz helps the Cyclones out of the inning with no runs coming in. So no runs, no hits, no errors. 2 men left on for the Birds. After 4, they still lead it 3-1. We'll head to the top of the 5th after another break on MILB TV and Bally Live. Michael Ferret is back out for the 5th inning. His Birds lead it 3-1 over the Brooklyn Cyclones, game 3 of this 6-game series. Birds looking to take control of this series that's tied up at a game apiece so far. And in this 5th, Ferret will get Mercado, Smith, and Rosselli, the 6, 7, and 8 hitters. Just 55 pitches for Ferret through 4. He has been very good and consistent. He's retired 8 straight. He's fanned 6 of the last 7 that he's faced and looking to keep it rolling. First pitch, swing and a miss. Well, right there.
I was
going to
say, what else at this point?
What else?
It's almost more surprising when he doesn't get a swing and a miss at this point.
He is racking up the whiffs. Ty Weatherly continues to work in the Birds' bullpen. 0-1, swing and a miss. There's the changeup. It's 0-2. I mean, how do you prepare for that as a hitter? This guy can throw 7 different pitches. Now, a lot of them are very similar to each other. Mm-hmm. He's got 2 sliders, a sweeper, 2 changeups, 2 fastballs. But, again, that's pitches that all look a little bit different.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you
how do you?
You got to get to him early. You have to get to him early in the count because, as we're seeing, if you fall to two strikes and you got to rely on seven pitches, you got to sit there and think, okay, which of the seven are coming? That's how you get to where you've struck out six of your last seven batters because it's hard. It is. Hitting is hard enough, but when you got someone on and they're throwing seven pitches that they can go to, it's difficult.
0-2 skips that one in the dirt. It's 1-2.
I'll go out on a limb and say that's probably not the location he was going for.
Just spike that one a little bit too far into the dirt. Well, we'll see if he can come back with a pitch here and make it four straight strikeouts. He has seven in the game. Now Ferret's 1-2 in the dirt again. Mercado walked his first time up. A hit by pitch and a walk against Ferret. That's it. He is not allowed a hit. The Cyclones have a run, but a zero in the hit column. There you go, Zach. You got something cooking for you.
You know, we're just not going to talk.
2-2. Called strike three right down the chute. Four straight punch-outs for Michael Ferret. Give him eight in the game, and he stays hot.
I'm starting to think this Michael Ferret guy might be pretty decent at pitching. He is just going to work right now. It's just another day in the office. There's nothing special. He's going out there, and he's getting the job done, and that's exactly what you want to see from a 21-year-old playing in this league.
First pitch to DeAndre Smith is in for a strike. It's 0-1. Well, last year, Ferret, there were some starts where the pitch count started to rise because he was missing out of the zone, and he was just trying to repeat that delivery and be in the zone consistently, but it led to some short outings. You know, we're talking 3 1/3, 3 2/3, mm-hmm. maybe 4 1/3. But so far this year, I mean, it has been pure dominance. And it's great to see that what he did at this level last year, he's even better to start at this level this year.
Yeah, and we talked about what's the cool thing about, you know, getting to call minor league baseball, getting to see it's the progression. It's seeing the difference in last year to this year and how much he's grown as not only a pitcher, but, you know, as a person and in these situations, having that mindset.
Fly ball to right. Anderson makes the catch. Two gone here in the fifth. So last year I asked Michael Ferret if he could pitch in a rotation with four other big leaguers from any time, like whether it's current big leaguers in the past. He said he'd put himself in a rotation with Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan, Greg Maddux, and Pedro Martinez, four Hall of Famers. And I told him, I said, all right, four number one starters and hopefully a future number one starter.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about let's make it five number one starters by the time this is all said and done. Would not mind it at all if Ferret ended up in the company of those guys. I think that'd be pretty decent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, I mean, that's – and, you know, he just went right for the Hall of Famers in that rotation. You know, sometimes guys will have a pitcher they like from growing up or whatever, and it's a guy that, you know, kind of an obscure name or – maybe not a guy who is just pure dominance in the big leagues, but he went right for the big dogs.
Yeah, he said, if I'm going to get an option to select four guys from any time, he said, I'm picking four guys from the Hall. I'm putting he wants to go after the Orioles having four 20-game winners. Yeah. He wants to have five.
Every day is win day. So the count is no balls and two strikes with two outs. Nick Rosselli in the box. Can Ferret set him down and pick up another punch out? He's set. Pitch misses high. Well, Ferret has not allowed a base runner since Mercado walked in the second. It was a sack fly, then three strikeouts, then a ground out, then four strikeouts, then a fly out. Rosselli in the box, ready to hit. Ferret set on the mound. Here's his 1-2, low in the dirt, and a nice stop by Stafford. Appeal, no swing.
Glad we asked for an appeal there. I was like, can someone ask?
Yeah.
I was like, even if you're not going to get it, at least give yourself a shot.
Just check.
Just what's the worst that can happen? We've already seen a few that we didn't agree with go against them, so maybe you get one there.
Ferret has set down 10 batters in a row. That is the most that a single Ironbirds pitcher has set down consecutively this season. Can he make it another one? 2-2, fouled back. Well, the previous high for an Ironbirds pitcher was on April 5th at home against Hub City when Blake Money set down 9 in a row. But Ferret into double digits, 10 straight retired, and a chance to make it 11, which would complete his third straight 1-2-3 inning. Two balls, two strikes, two outs, no one on. Rosselli in the box, Ferret set. Next pitch, swing and a miss, fastball up top. 11 in a row set down by Michael Ferret. He is dialed in, and he's completed five no-hit innings tonight in the Dean. Special stuff from Ferret. The no-hit bid is intact, and the Ironbirds still lead it 3-1 after 4.5. We'll head to inning the bottom of the fifth after this on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. We move to the bottom of inning number 5 here in Aberdeen. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger with you on the call. The Birds lead it 3-1. 5 no-hit innings from Michael Ferret. Yes, the Cyclones do have a run, but still a 0 in the hit column. And the Ironbirds 12 outs away from completing a no-hitter. We'll see if it happens. It's still early, but definitely a possibility. Here's Aaron Estrada to lead off the fifth against right-hander Joel Diaz, who faced two batters in the fourth, got them both out. First pitch to Estrada, gets a swing and a miss. It's 0-1. Estrada, Stafford, and Anderson. But, Zach, the story tonight, Michael Ferret. He has retired 11 in a row. Let me count him up. He's got 9 strikeouts. He's been nearly flawless. Fly ball to center, right at Serrano, out number one. But how about Ferret, Zach?
Absolutely incredible. And you know you're pitching well when DeAndre Smith for the Cyclones hits a routine fly out to right field, and I was floored that he put the bat on it. Yep. I was like, okay. I was like, we got someone, you know, after you see 5 straight Ks, you know, he struck out at 1.7 of 8. It was starting to feel like maybe we don't see another bat to ball, but Ferret having a crazy, I think, start to this game.
A ton of swings and missed. It's not just for strike 3, he's getting the swings and misses, but consistently. Strike 1, strike 2, a lot of whiffs. Mm-hmm. And, Zach, I'm right there with you. That fly ball to right, I'm like, oh, somebody made contact.
Yeah, I was like, good, okay.
Well, the Cyclones haven't had a base runner since the second inning. Pure dominance from Ferret. 2-0 to Ryan Stafford. That's in for a strike. It's 2-1. Stafford so far tonight is 0-1. He lined out to third his first time up, then dropped down a sack bunt that helped lead to a run in the third. Takes there. It's 3-1. The Birds could definitely use some insurance. Ferret is probably done. He's at 70 pitches through 5. But what a performance from the young right-hander.
I mean, if that is it for him, you could not have drawn up a better start. Yeah. Obviously, outside the second inning, when you had the hit-by-pitch that was more hit some cloth.
Yeah.
And it really is unfortunate that he gets that earned run there. So we actually do we get a hit?
I think it avoided him.
You know,
either way, it's ball 4.
I was gonna say either way, it looks like I guess if it's gonna be ball 4 either way, you'd rather just not get hit by the ball,
right?
You know,
yeah, just avoid it. So Stafford down to first.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm sure if you know maybe it's a close game and it's you know maybe 1-2 count, 1-1 count, maybe his teammates are yelling at him to wear that one a little bit, but already three balls, full count. Just take your base.
Here's Ethan Anderson with Stafford at first and one out. Stafford could run. Anderson takes low, and he won't have to run on his own as that ball gets by the catcher, Suero. He gets the second on the wild pitch. So a big insurance run in scoring position for the Birds, and Anderson, who's already driven in one run tonight, has a chance to add another. Well, Zach, last night Braxton Bragg went 7 innings, did not walk a batter, gave up just 3 hits, struck out 7. He was fantastic. And Michael Ferret, well, trying to follow that up tonight? Five no-hit innings with nine strikeouts.
You know, I guess that's one way to follow it up. If, you know, your boy goes out there and shoves the night before, you also want to pick it up where he left it off, and that's exactly what Ferret did tonight. Almost, you know, the five no-hit, he might be sitting there arguing that he put on the better performance.
Yeah. What Bragg did last night, Ferret said, hold my Gatorade.
Yeah, hold the Gatorade. I'm going to go strike out everybody.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's been fun to watch these guys go at it. And coming into this season, we knew that this was going to be a special starting rotation for the Ironbirds. And so far this season, they have lived up to the hype. Every night, doesn't matter who's getting the ball, you know you're going to have a chance to win the game.
Yeah, and actually just, you know, jokingly said he's going to strike everybody out. DeAndre Smith, the guy who has the two flyouts, actually is the only guy he's yet to strike out that okay. He did not. So literally almost struck everybody out.
Ironbird starters had a 2.17 ERA coming into the game. That's down under two now, thanks to what Michael Ferret's doing. 3-1, that's in for a strike. Anderson thought it was ball four. Runner at second, that's Stafford with one out in the home half of the fifth. Birds lead 3-1. Brooklyn got a run in the second. Ironbirds with three in the third. That's it to this point. Diaz looks at second. Now to the plate. Anderson grounds one foul off of his foot. That never feels good, especially on a cool night.
No, that's one of those, and he's walking it off right now. He's going to get back in the batter's box, but I'm telling you, he's not going to be feeling great sitting in there on that full count pitch after taking one right off the foot.
Anderson is the team leader in RBIs with 12 now. I'd be down with 13. See if he can add that.
I think he would as well.
Long pause from Diaz. Payoff again. Chopper out to second. Rosselli's there. Gloves it, flips to first. It'll at least move the runner to third. Stafford is now 90 feet away. But Anderson retired, two down in the inning. That brings up Leandro Arias. Well, yesterday, not only did the Ironbirds win a 2-1 W here against Brooklyn, every team in Birdland won. It was a clean sweep across the Orioles organization. The O's won, and all four minor league affiliates won. First pitch to Arias, low and in. And Birds lead it right now, and Zach, the big club in Baltimore, doing its thing again.
Yeah, Birds up 6-2, got some long balls going. You got Gunner, Heston Kerstead, and Ryan O'Hearn. So Gunner and Kerstead, two guys been in Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Spent some time at the Dean.
Yeah, Gunner was here in 2021, and Heston Kerstad was a part of the team that got to the championship series against Bowling Green here in 2022. Played a big role down the stretch for the Birds. Counts 2-0 on Arias. Pitch popped up left side. This should end the inning. Barrow, the shortstop, into shallow left. He gives way to De Los Santos, who makes the catch, and the inning is over. No runs, no hits, no errors. One man left in scoring position for the Birds. We've played five here in the Dean, and the Birds are still on top 3-1. We'll head to the top of the sixth after another break here on MILB-TV and Valley Live. 5 in the books here in the Dean. It's Aberdeen 3 and Brooklyn 1. Game 3 of the 6-game series. Birds in front looking to make it 2 wins in a row. And they'll dip into their bullpen for the first time tonight. Right-hander Ty Weatherly takes over for Michael Ferrett. Ferrett was fantastic tonight. 70 pitches, 48 strikes over 5 innings of 1-run ball. He did not allow a hit. He walked one and hit a batter. And he struck out 9. He retired the last 11 that he faced. He was fantastic tonight. Last night, Braxton Bragg, 7 scoreless with 7 strikeouts. And tonight, Michael Ferrett, 5 innings, no hits, 9 strikeouts. It just keeps getting better. Or you can argue Bragg was better last night. You can argue Ferrett was better. Either way, both were fantastic.
And if you're the Orioles and if you're the Ironbirds, if you've got a pick between the two, I think you're pretty happy knowing that both came from your guys on back-to-back nights. You're not going to be too pressed wondering which one was more impressive.
Right.
I think you're just more focused right now, and you're very happy with your starting pitching staff as of recently.
Yeah. Well, the right-hander Ty Weatherly is on. 6'6" tall. He's 24 years old. Played his college ball at Ball State. This is his third pro season. First stint in Aberdeen. Third appearance out of the Birds bullpen. 1-2. Got a check swing. Appeal down to first. No swing. And Jeffrey De Los Santos is still alive. It's De Los Santos, then back to the top for Barrow and Ortega. The Ironbirds working on a combined no-hitter right now. Ferrett, 5 no-hit innings, even though the Cyclones do have a run. Weatherly ready to rock. And his 2-2 fouled away. Zach, I think it really gets interesting if they keep this no-hit bid through 6.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think, once you get to after 6, it starts setting in because you just need 9 outs.
Yeah.
You know, it suddenly you've gone from, ooh.
There's a called strike 3 on the outer half, and Weatherly keeps it rolling. That's 12 in a row set down by the Ironbirds pitching staff. De Los Santos back to the dugout, back to the top for Barrow.
And, you know, it's like I was just saying, once you kind of get past 6, it goes from you need 27 outs to you just need 9. And it starts feeling, you know, as you get into the bullpen, maybe each guy, you just task him with, hey, find 3 outs. Go find 3 outs. You know, it doesn't have to be the same guy. You're no longer looking at Ferrett to go out there and you're saying, you know, you got to go 9 innings, no hits. Now, you know, if you get this, you hand, you know, continue to hand it over to the bullpen and you see what happens from there.
1-0 pitch, that's in for strike to Barrow. Well, that's 12 in a row set down by Ferrett and Weatherly combined. And in case the fans at home were wondering, the season high for Ironbirds pitchers this year in consecutive batters retired is 17. They did that on April 9th at Jersey Shore. Well, forget that. There's a line drive into the left field corner. Boston Barrow with extra bases. He's headed for second. Thinking about 3, and he'll continue to go. Ball is stuck in that corner. Well, and legitimately, it is stuck in the corner.
Yeah.
And the left fielder, Tejada, threw his hands up. It's going to be a double. They'll send Barrow back to second. Well, forget about the consecutive batters retired streak. Forget about the no-hitter. That is gone. And, Zach, I mean, I wanted it for you.
I was saying, you know, off air, this would have been something special if we could have pulled one out. Maybe we started the no-no talk a little too soon. Maybe we should have, you know. But we'll be back next time, and, you know, we'll prepare better.
Well, the reason why we were so locked in on that is because your boy and Ryan Ripken Show co-host Kevin Ostreicher was with me in the booth for the Ironbirds combined no-no last July 19th. And thinking, if another Ryan Ripken Show member does it again, like...
There was, you know, the thoughts were going through my mind. I was wondering, I was like, you know, as a show, this would be a great showing. You know, this would be great vibes for the show.
For the brand, man.
Yeah, you know, for the brand would have been impeccable, but... You know, let's get away still with a win, and we can, you know, still task at hand.
Runner at second with 1 out. Here is Rafael Ortega representing the tying run. That pitch outside from Weatherly, it is 1-1. Well, Weatherly has 5 pitches to work with. A 4-seam fastball, a cutter, a curveball, a sweeper, and a changeup. Tops out around 94. So another deep arsenal for an Ironbirds arm. Looks at second, now the 1-1. Check swing, foul, 1-2. Well, right now, Zach, now that the no-hitter is no longer a thing, you got to worry about just getting out of the inning. Only a 2-run lead for the Birds.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a funny part of when you do have a no-hitter or something like that going this deep into the game of a 3-1 game is suddenly it is a 2-run game. The tying run's at home. You know, tying run is at the plate right now. So now, yeah, your focus goes from, okay, we had the no-hitter to now it's get out of the inning. Let's not allow them to get back into this. Let's not allow them to even this up. Let's not allow them to even bring it within one. And, you know, weirdly, maybe there's less pressure now. You know, before, if you're a pitcher, you can say you don't know about the no-no. You can say all that. It's got to be in the back of your mind. You understand what's going on. You don't want to be the guy. So maybe it makes it a little bit easier.
1-2, half-hearted check swing. Ortega went around. He has gone on strike. So two strikeouts for Ty Weatherly out of the pen. And the K's keep piling up for this Brooklyn lineup.
Yeah, the Ironbirds pitchers came here with they said they were going to strike out some guys. It seems like their game plan going into tonight was to get some K's, and they are pulling it off beautifully.
Ferret fanned 9, give Weatherly 2, up to 11 now. First pitch with 2 outs to Reimer. He went, he didn't go. Appeal down, they say he checked his swing. It's 1-0.
Big at-bat here in this game. I mean, you know, a single here makes it a one-run game. You have the three-hitter up, Reimer, who, as you said, has been hot coming into this game. This is a big, big at-bat for Weatherly. You want to get out of this here.
1-0. Fly ball to shallow right center. Anderson sprinting in, and he plays it on a hop in front of him. A run is in to score. Barrow scores from second. It's a two-out RBI single from Jacob Reimer. And, Zach, that's a tough play. Kind of in between, do you dive, and if it gets by you, that's kind of an issue?
Yeah.
Or do you let it drop in front and just play it on a hop?
It seems like Anderson didn't get a great read off the bat. He kind of, you know, looked like he was hesitant, you know, I think is probably the best word. Wasn't completely sure how deep the ball was going at first. Plays it safe. Let it hop, you know, drop in. He's going to give up the one run. But you hope to maybe keep that guy off of second base. And
ground ball to short. Arias has it. Throws to first in time. So Weatherly comes right back. And on the next pitch, gets a ground out to end the inning. But the Cyclones grab a run. They do it on 2 hits, no errors. One man left on. 3-2 Ironbirds over the Cyclones after 5.5. We'll go to the bottom of the 6th after this break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the 6th inning here at Ripken Stadium in Aberdeen. It's the Ironbirds 3 and the Cyclones 2. The Clones grabbed a run on 2 hits in the top of the 6th. Ty Weatherly got out of it with just the 1 run home. And now here in the home 6th, it's De Los Santos, Vasquez, and Mordan. Got Zach Bollinger from the Ryan Ripken Show joining me in the booth tonight. It's been a fun broadcast, as it always is, with Zach. And Zach, right now your guy De Los Santos, the pick to click tonight for a home run, is at the dish for the 3rd time.
You know, and as we're getting later into the game, these are the moments where, you know, it's now a one-run game. It's no longer, you know, you got the no-no intact, none of that. Now we got to score some runs again. It's back on the offense to put a little bit of space between the Birds and the Cyclones. Maybe it's on a solo shot here. You never know.
Birds have not scored since the 3rd. That's when they got all 3 of their runs. They did it on 4 hits. They don't have any hits in any other inning. 0-2 fouls it away. Last night, the Birds got 2 in the 1st. They didn't score the rest of the way. They only had 1 base runner through the final seven innings at the plate. They didn't have to hit in the bottom of the ninth. And the Brooklyn bullpen retired 16 in a row, but the Birds still won the game. 0-2 popped up right side behind home plate. Suero tosses the mask away, and he makes the catch. So De Los Santos is gone.
You know, maybe we're going to get some eighth inning magic from him.
Yeah, he might come up one more time.
You know, we'll get one more at bat, I think. You know, maybe we get one more at bat. Get some runners on to get him up sooner. And then maybe he's just waiting for more guys on base. Maybe that's it.
Well, Zach, I know you guys on the Ryan Ripken Show have had a ton of big name guests on lately. I mean, it's one after another. I mean, we're talking MLB Hall of Famers, current big leaguers. You know, some football guests as well. You had Super Bowl champion Joe Flacco on the other day. Yeah. Of the guys that you have interviewed on the show, let's say, like, since baseball season has started this year, do you have a favorite?
I got to go with my guy, John Means. Means has just been he's an 11 out of 10 guy. I guess it'll be between two. I'm going to go Means and Stowers. Kyle Stowers had yesterday or the day before, and he was just one of the nicest guys, most down-to-earth human I think we have interviewed. And then John Means is just a guy that every time we talk to him, every time he comes on the show, he is just extremely laid back, just a super fun guy to talk to, very open, just a laid-back vibe. Really, really fun just to get to connect with those guys.
Vasquez flies out to straightaway center. Two gone here in the sixth. That brings up Mordan. Birds lead it by one, but looking for more. Well, of the guys that you've had recently and the clips that I've watched and been able to tune in for, I mean, the fact that you guys got Jim Thome on, I think, is really cool. And I thought it was so awesome that in that interview he said that we're going to have to talk about it next inning, because here's a first pitch pop up to center. Who wants it? Serrano calls everyone off, makes the catch. Birds go down 1-2-3. So we'll pick up that conversation when we come back and talk about it in the top of the seventh. But the Birds go quietly, but they still lead it 3-2 after six. We're headed for the seventh after this on the Birds Broadcast Network. Top of the seventh here in the Dean. The Birds lead it 3-2 over the Clones, game three of this six-game series. Suero, Mercado, and Smith, 5, 6, and 7, do up for Brooklyn. As the Birds look to preserve their one-run lead, Ty Weatherly back to work. He gave up one run on a couple of hits in the sixth inning out of the pen. Michael Ferret, 5 innings of one-run ball, no hits, and 9 Ks to start tonight. And now Weatherly to try to hold this lead. Well, Zach, before we went to break after the Birds went down 1-2-3 in the bottom of the sixth, we started talking about some of the recent interviews that you guys have done on the Ryan Ripken Show. First pitch of the inning popped up down the right field line, foul territory, and De Los Santos runs out of room. Heck of a run, though.
I was going to say he almost had that. I thought that was just in the stands from the start, but he had a play on that, a little bit, just a little bit out of reach, maybe a row too far.
It's close. And I started saying that one of my favorites that you guys have had recently, Jim Thome, Hall of Famer, one of the guys in the exclusive 600 home run club.
Yeah.
Just a phenomenal career. Spent some time with the Phillies, 3 years there when I was growing up, when I was in elementary school, then came back later on for a quick stint towards the end of his career. But that's one of the first baseball players I grew up like idolizing. Like, he was the guy in Philly. And, of course, growing up a Phillies fan and being a part of that fan base. Here's the 0-1 pitch from Weatherly. That's outside. When the Phillies got Jim Thome in the early 2000s, it was like immediately it was a new era of Phillies baseball. Yeah. It's like, all right, this franchise that hasn't made the playoffs in my lifetime, like this is a new era. Like, they mean business now. Grounder to first. De Los Santos has it. And he steps on first himself.
Whoa, bare hand action on the ground ball to first. Decided, took a little hop on him to his right, and he said, I'm not using the glove. I'm not backhanding anything. Let me just put the bare hand down and grab it like it's nothing.
Forget the glove.
Yeah, I'm sure his coaches will be telling him, maybe let's use the mitt next time. But if it's going to work, if you're going to be smooth with it, you got to be smooth with it. And DLS was there.
So here's a Starling Mercado. And so to continue the story on Thome, that was what made the Phillies legit again. Mm-hmm. Them bringing him in, of course, he wasn't there for all the playoff runs, the World Series. By then, he was gone. But years later, when I was an intern at NBC Sports Philadelphia during the summer of 2016, Jim Thome was inducted into the Wall of Fame at Citizens Bank Park, the Phillies Wall of Fame. And I was covering that along with some other people from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Got to sit in on the press conference, ask Jim a question. You know, him answering that question after me growing up, you know, idolizing him as a player. I got to write a story on it that night that went up on the website. Just a really cool full circle moment. So the fact that you guys had Thome on, if I could have a list of dream guys to interview, I think he'd be on there.
Yeah, and Jim was just such a, you know, we talk about some of these guys with being laid back and everything.
Liner to left, diving attempt by Tejada in and out of his glove. He gets it in quickly, though.
Would have been a heck of a play. But, you know, Jim told me something that I loved about him, and getting to talk to him and stuff was just simply how down to earth. And, you know, you talk to a lot of guys, especially these Hall of Famers, and they're like, yeah, you know, I did that, no big deal. You know, okay, yeah, you know, I did that, but that was just another day in the office. I love that Jim Thome was just as impressed with himself as everyone else. Like, I remember actually talking to Mark Shapiro, the GM and president for the Toronto Blue Jays, had a Jim Thome story where he was like, he remembers walking in the outfield after they reacquired Thome in Cleveland towards the end of his career after he had just hit 600. And he walked up to Mark and was like, 600. Can you believe that? He's like, I've hit how many? And he's just as in awe as everyone else. Like, he understands that this is incredible, the journey he's been on, to play for that long, to be that good. And he's just, just one of those guys where he goes around and he just immediately captures attention. He's just a fun going guy who is just honestly just as impressed and like, wow, that was crazy. About his career as
a legend of the game, but a very unassuming legend.
Yes.
You know, like just very chill.
Mm-hmm. And those are the best guys, the guys that are just like, yeah, it's been fun. You know, they're not too like, oh, I'm one of the greats. You know, that some of these guys that are just like, yeah, I played a kids game for a long time, I'm really lucky. Those are the best guys to interview because they take so much from the game, you know, not just on the field, but off the field. It truly is special to get to talk to some of those guys and just pick their brains.
1-2, fly ball to right. Here comes Anderson. He picks it on a hop. Throw to second. It's in time. Ethan Anderson got that one on a short hop in right, and he came up firing to second for the out. That's heads-up baseball by Anderson, knowing he had a play, and a great job by Arias to cover the bag. So instead of a hit to set up first and second and no outs, or in one out, they've got just a runner on first and two outs now.
Yeah, that is a massive turn of events there because all of a sudden the Cyclones, you get two guys on, one out. You are a single away from tying this ballgame. You are a gapper away from taking the lead potentially. So for you to get that out, especially on what should have been a single, the short hop had to sit between first and second to see if it got down, and the awareness from Anderson to say, you know what, I'm coming up guns a-blazing. Let's try to get him at second. You know, that's the awareness that you like to see. If you're not going to get the out one place, let's get it the other.
So two down with a runner on first. The tying run here in the seventh. Pick play to first. They got him. Ty Weatherly with an excellent move to the bag, and Anderson De Los Santos applied the tag. Smith is caught napping, and the inning is over. An outfield assist from Anderson to get a runner at second for out number two, and then a pickoff to first. That is Ironbirds baseball right there. Time to stretch in the Dean. We'll go to the home half of the seventh after this with the Birds up 3-2 on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom seven in the Dean. It's the Ironbirds 3 and the Cyclones 2. 3 runs on 4 hits for the Birds. 2 runs on 3 hits for the Cyclones. We've got Zach Bollinger from the Ryan Ripken Show in the booth with me tonight. Zach, it's been a really fun broadcast and a really well-played game on both sides. The Ironbirds just got a couple of big outs in the top of the seventh. Ethan Anderson with a 9-6 outfield assist for the second out of the inning, a force play at the bag. And then Ty Weatherly picked off DeAndre Smith napping at first. Ironbirds baseball at its finest right there.
It's, you know, you take outs any way you can get them. You're not usually seeing your right fielder throw someone out as a force out at second, then follow it up. You know, we talked about how big that play from Anderson was, and, you know, he gets the force out at second, and we were saying, okay, now all of a sudden it goes from first and second, one out to just first base and two outs, and then Weatherly says, you know what, I'm not pitching this guy. He's like, I would rather just get out of this thing right now. Does it himself, pickoff move, beautiful, gets the out. Find a way out of the inning.
1-2 pitch to Angel Tejada, the 9-hole hitter leading off the bottom of the seventh, misses low. Joel Diaz, the right-hander for Brooklyn, is still out there. He has been really good so far tonight. He's through 2 2/3 scoreless, and he has kept the Cyclones in it. Now the 2-2 to Tejada. That's a called strike 3 on the outer half. Well, that's exactly it. I love how you put that. Ty Weathers like, you know what? Like, we're not doing this. We're getting out of it right now.
He's like, I could pitch to this guy, or I could just pick this guy off at first, and I can go sit in the bullpen, rest the arm a little bit. He says, you know what? We might as well. But man, I mean, we've talked about the Ironbirds pitchers doing well. It's been, you know, outside of the fourth inning, Cyclone pitching has also had its way today. It's been a very, very fun matchup to watch. Both these pitching staffs go at each other.
These two teams over the last two games have combined for just 8 runs.
Yeah.
Birds won 2-1 last night. They lead it 3-2 tonight. 0-1, swing and a miss, and Overn is down 0-2. Austin has one of the 4 Ironbirds hits. All 4 of those Birds hits came in the third inning, and if it's going to be a tough night for hits, you know, to come by them, you might as well have them all in that same inning, bring some
runs
home.
Bunch it up. If you're going to, you know, if you're only going to get one opportunity to score, you're going to get one chance to score, you might as well take advantage of it. You know, when they had their opportunity in the fourth, they got the job done, and it set them up to, through the rest of the game, have the lead and be able to kind of control the game from there.
Overn just fouled one to the netting behind home plate. The count remains 0-2. Birds lead it by 1, looking for a base runner to start something up. And you can expect the Birds to run if they get a guy like Overn on base. 0-2, swing and a miss. Fastball up top, got him. He is down on strikes. And that is strikeout number 7 for the Cyclones pitching staff tonight. Aaron Estrada will hit with 2 gone and no one on. Diaz has looked really good. 3 innings complete now out of the pen. Estrada, an RBI single on a Baltimore chop in the third. And now he takes a strike on the outer half. Well, Diaz is just coming out of the pen pumping strikes.
I was going to say, we talked about, you know, coming in early. We're like, okay, got to the bullpen early, and Diaz was kind of their stopper. And all he's done is stop. You know, he's done everything the Cyclones could have asked him to do. Get out of the inning when you come in, and then immediately has done nothing but kind of just control this game from there. And this is exactly, if you're the Cyclones, if you would have asked for what's the ideal.
Well, that was a swing and a miss there. In and out of the glove of Suera, but he applies the tag. They're just not letting you get your point in.
I know.
Come on now.
My point is he's dominating, and what's he do? He dominates a little too quickly.
Yeah. 3 strikeouts for Diaz in a quick seventh. We've played 7 now in the Dean. The Ironbirds still in front, though. They lead it 3-2. We'll head to the eighth after another quick break on MILB TV and Bally Live.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
We move to the top of the eighth inning here in Aberdeen. It's been a fun one tonight as the Birds lead it 3-2 going into the eighth. Ty Weatherly back to work. He worked a scoreless seventh, and the Birds really needed it to protect a one-run lead. They still lead it by one, and a chance to preserve the advantage once again. Roselli De Los Santos and Barrow, 8-9-1 for Brooklyn. And Zach, six outs to get, up one, popped up bunt behind home plate. It's quickly 0-1 on Roselli, but these are high-leverage innings right now, and Ty Weatherly has looked good so far.
Ty Weatherly has looked fantastic. You know, obviously you come in the no-hitter, you give up the double, obviously ends up scoring a few batters later. But ever since then, Weatherly has done exactly what you have been hoping he would do. So we get something, maybe an automatic strike here?
I think they got him for a pitch timer violation. So it's 0-2 now on Roselli.
Great there by Weatherly. Just use the clock. You know, such strategy.
Next one, swing and a miss. Well, he only threw two pitches, but because of the pitch timer violation, that's strike three, and Roselli's gone to open the eighth.
You know, we've seen it all. We've seen every strikeout possible right now. We've seen the three pitch. We've seen eight pitch strikeouts. We've seen two pitch strikeouts.
Well, the K's continue to pile up for the Ironbirds so far tonight. That's 12 of them. Michael Ferret struck out 9 in 5 no-hit innings. Ty Weatherly ever since. Pitch missed downstairs. It's 1-0. It's tough to enter into a situation like Weatherly. Slim lead, no-hitter, so people are thinking about that. Or maybe it's just us. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe that might have actually just been us. That very well could have just been us.
See, I'm the type of guy who's, like, looking at the scoreboard, and it'll be, like, the third inning. I'll be like, oh, no hits? Like, it's a no-hit bid. Other people are like, you got to get deeper, but I think it's from growing up playing MLB The Show. You're always trying to throw a no-hitter. So, like, the innings keep going by. You're like, oh, we got something here.
Yeah, it starts getting a little, you know, it gets a little tense.
So I always think about it early. 1-1, that's a strike. It's 1-2 on De Los Santos.
And I think, obviously, with Kevin calling the no-hitter, you know, last season, it was on our minds. You know, we got a lot closer than I thought, you know.
Yeah, tonight, because the Cyclones had a run early, we weren't thinking about it. Then all of a sudden, we're like, oh. Like, that's something. Like, that's not nothing. 1-2. Tried to get the check swing out of the zone. He couldn't do it as De Los Santos held up.
You know, at once, I also had already accepted that once, even that with the no-hitter, once they gave up one run, I was like, man, even my no-hitter wouldn't be as good as Kevin's. Yeah. I was like, I just can't win even if I get the no-no here. So, you know, we'll be back, like I said. You know, we'll be back a little later in the year, and maybe that's just what they're saving the best for the second time.
I think you're right.
We're going to have a perfect game, and De Los Santos is going yard next game. Just what's going to happen.
Everything's going to come together. 3-2 pitch is fouled away. There's more bullpen action for the Cyclones. Right-hander Dylan Ross is tossing. Right now, the Birds' bullpen is quiet. This is Weatherly's game. We'll see how long he goes, but right now the goal is to get the final two outs in this eighth and keep the lead. Payoff pitch, fly ball to straightaway center, over and a few steps in. He's camped under it. It comes down in his glove. Two gone in the inning. Ty Weatherly shutting it down. He has done a really nice job. And now a chance to make it a 1-2-3 frame. Here's Boston Barrow. Weatherly's ready to go. Was waiting for Barrow to step in the box. Now Barrow ready to hit. And Weatherly out of the windup. First pitch misses low and in.
Weatherly, like you just said, he's ready to go right now. You can tell he is wasting no time. He's getting that ball, and he is immediately getting set. He wants to keep going. You can tell he's feeling good, and he just wants to keep mowing this lineup down as long as he can.
1-0 pitch, fouled back. Well, during his five-year collegiate career at Ball State, Weatherly spent some time in the starting rotation for the Cardinals. He also spent some time in the bullpen, so he can really pitch in any situation. He's a versatile piece.
Yeah, and, you know, we've seen the length come through, and this is big, especially, you know, if he can get these final outs, you
There's
know, you don't have to use
the
next guy.
Tejada back, makes the catch, and that'll do it for the top of the eighth inning. A 1-2-3 eighth for Ty Weatherly, and the Birds are three outs away from putting this one in the win column. But first, they'll get a chance to swing the bats again in the bottom of the eighth. They lead it 3-2. We'll go there next on the Birds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the eighth inning here in Aberdeen. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger with you on the call. It's 3-2 Birds over the Cyclones. Ironbirds looking to take a 2-1 series lead. And now here in the eighth, Ryan Stafford set to lead things off. First pitch to Staff is in for a strike. New arm for the Cyclones. It's right-hander Dylan Ross.
Yeah, Diaz out of the game. Maybe this is the time for the Birds to get a little insurance. You would like to go into the ninth with more than a one-run lead. Just, you know, give yourself a little bit of cushion. So let's see if maybe they can find something here.
Ty Weatherly worked a 1-2-3 eighth. We'll see if he comes back out for the ninth. I don't see anybody loosening up in the Birds' bullpen right now. It might be his game.
It's seeming like it's his game at this moment, which if you can go through this game and the Birds can find a way to win, only using two pitchers, you're feeling very good, especially with Ferret, how he started the game, Weatherly coming in and pretty much picking up exactly where he left off. You're feeling very good about today's pitching, just today's pitching overall, if you're able to pull this win out.
1-2 from Ross, up and in. It almost got a piece of Stafford.
Scared me up here.
Yeah.
Chin music going on down there. I'm sure that can't be fun.
No, that's one up around the neck. You got to get out of the way. Anywhere else, you're like, let it hit him.
Yeah.
You know, get on base. But, like, you're not taking that one up around the
94
neck.
94 to the dome doesn't seem very fun. I'll say that.
2-2 fights it off. So it's Stafford, then Anderson and Arias. 3-4-5 for the Birds. They haven't scored since the third inning. All three of their runs and all four of their hits came in inning number three. Since then, they've had some traffic on the bases. Three batters have walked, but they have gone down in order in each of the last two innings. The Cyclones bullpen, which to this point is just Joel Diaz, retiring 8 in a row. And now Stafford called out on strikes. 9 in a row set down by the Clones pen, and there's one out in the home eighth.
Mike, I know at the beginning of the game I said that maybe we were going to see some pitching staffs go toe-to-toe here. Besides two innings, it really has been pitching dominant. These guys from both sides have really, even in the slight times that they've found themselves in trouble, they are finding their way out pretty easily. And, you know, we've seen it all. We've seen sac flies. We've seen, you know, triples. We've seen pickoffs. We've seen two-pitch strikeouts. This game, it's what you love about baseball, is you literally can see anything anytime you show up to the ballpark.
Pitching has dominated this series, and you take out the 8-7 game in game one. The last two nights, I mean, we have seen some serious domination from both pitching staffs, every arm in the game. Well, entering play tonight, the Cyclones, the top dog in the South Atlantic League with a 2.87 team ERA. The Ironbirds entered fourth in the league with a 3.66 ERA. So we're talking about two of the league's four best pitching staffs, that's exactly what I was trying to say. It didn't sound right coming out, but that's what I meant. So, yeah, two teams, top four in ERA. And
they're proving it. They're
showing
why.
It's kind of playing out that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is. It's going the way the books kind of told you it was going to go. Two pitching staffs and two starters that, you know, like we talked about, besides the one inning in the fourth or the third, for the Ironbirds, this really has been very pitch-heavy. And then Diaz for the Cyclones comes in as their stopper, and he just did exactly what they hoped. Another hit batter, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that one got him or it was ball four, because it was a three-ball count.
Yeah,
but either way, Anderson down to first, and he is there with one out for Arias. But, Zach, I think, you know, both teams coming in with low ERAs, not seeing a lot of runs the last two nights. They are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
They are exactly who we thought they were. And that's why you want to get this run in here, because you're feeling great with how your pitching staff's throwing right now. But that doesn't mean that it's never a bad thing to get a little insurance.
Pop up out to shallow left center. The shortstop Barrow makes the catch. Arias is retired. And now Anderson at first base with two outs for your guy, Anderson De Los Santos.
It's now or never. Anderson, it is now or never, my guy. Here we go. Ninth inning. Let's put some insurance on the board.
If he goes deep, we're going to lose it up here.
All right, this will not sound like April, 17th? It won't sound like a April 17th ball game. I'll be celebrating like the World Series here.
First pitch strike. And for those who are just tuning in now or just tuned in recently, at the beginning of the broadcast, Zach picked Anderson De Los Santos to go deep tonight. Hasn't yet.
Just had a feeling. Maybe here it is.
He had a feeling. We'll see if that feeling pays off. Oh, Juan fouls it away. He's taking some big cuts tonight.
Took some hacks. That was a hack. I'm not going to lie. I saw the swing, and I was like, there, oof.
Oh, man. This just adds to the excitement of the broadcast. I mean, we're having fun anyway, but, you know, you made the pick early, yeah, and now it's a storyline that we've followed throughout. Ross set on the mound. Here's his 0-2 pitch. That one missed just a little bit high. Suero was headed back to the dugout.
Yeah, that pitch missed. I could not tell you where. You know, I'm assuming that was high, you know, like you said, but that looked pretty good. I think Suero also thought that looked pretty good. But it's a 1-2 count either way.
Now De Los Santos asks for time. He'll step out and regroup. Anderson is at first. He walked. He's walked twice tonight. The Birds have not had a hit since the third inning. Yesterday they didn't have a hit after the second. But it didn't matter last night. We'll see if it matters or not tonight. 1-2, swing and a miss. De Los Santos is down on strikes.
He
Another
tried.
Healthy cut, but he is gone, and the inning is over. No runs, no hits, no errors. One man left on. We've played eight here in the Dean, and the Birds are still holding on to a 3-2 lead. We'll see if they can close it out in the ninth. Weatherly going back to work here on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. We've reached the top of the ninth inning here in Aberdeen. The Birds looking to make it two wins in a row, looking for their second straight one-run win over the Cyclones. They lead it 3-2, and it's Ortega, Reimer, and Serrano, 2, 3, and 4, due up for the Clones. With Ty Weatherly still out there, Zach, it was Michael Ferret for 5 really solid innings, 9 strikeouts, didn't allow a hit. Ty Weatherly gave up a run on 2 hits in the 6th, but nothing since then, a 1-2-3 8th, and now a chance for a 4-inning save.
This is, you know, if you're Weatherly, if you would have told the Iron Birds that Weatherly was going to come in the 6th and he was going to take the ball the rest of the way, I think you would take that every single time. What he's been doing ever since that 6th inning, you know, start off a little rough, giving up the double, then a little soft contact gets the run in. But Weatherly has found different ways to get him out, whether it's the strikeout, the pickoff. You know, he's finding ways to get weak contact and just get outs.
1-0 pitch in there to Ortega. It's 1-1. Birds got all 3 of their runs in the 3rd to take the lead after the Cyclones got out to a 1-0 lead with a run in the 2nd. Weatherly went 4 innings or more 5 times last year, trying to complete 4 here, and he gets a swing and a miss. It's 1-2 on Ortega. Ortega hitless tonight. He is 0-3. Cyclones bats have been quiet, just 2 runs on 3 hits. Birds, meanwhile, 3 runs on 4 hits. Just really tough to hit when it's this cold early in the season. Guys still figuring out their swings and doing it against tough pitching. 1-2, ripped down the right field line, and it's a foul ball.
Weatherly got away with that one. Absolutely squared up there, just barely going foul for Ortega. He's going to want that one back. He wishes that could have gone fair. And maybe, you know, just maybe all of a sudden you get that tying run on second in scoring position, and it changes the outlook of this inning off the rip.
I'm feeling a backdoor sweeper right here. Just drop it in on that outside corner. We'll see what Weatherly comes with. Ortega back in the box. Now the 1-2. Foul ball over our heads in the broadcast
booth. That was
booth.
It. Oh, I thought that was it, Mike. I thought that was it.
I kind of jumped a little bit there as I saw that one headed our direction.
Oh, I thought that was us.
I've got the glove out here. Now, unlike Anderson De Los Santos, I will use the leather.
Yeah,
I
haven't felt that kind of adrenaline rush since 13-15 baseball wreck.
Fly to right center. Ethan Anderson is there. He makes the catch. Well, Ethan Anderson has done a really nice job in right field tonight. He told me the other day that he hasn't played outfield since high school. Didn't play there at all in college. It was catcher or first base. And getting a chance to play some corner outfield in pro ball, he's done a nice job. He made that catch going into the slide in the first inning. And then that was for out number one of the game. And then made that heads-up play, outfield assist throw in the second to get the force out. And that's huge right now. One run game to make that play. And then, you know, just has looked really solid out there.
Changed the trajectory of that inning. It would have been first and second one out. You know, he hasn't looked incredible all game. You know, he's had a few fall in front of him. But the one, you go, and then you come up and you get the guy at second, the awareness. So we get.
There's another one to right. That's over his head. He tried to make the catch. And it goes all the way to the wall. Extra bases for Reimer. He pulls in at second with a one-out double. And Jacob Reimer continues to hit. That is his sixth hit of the series. A triple and a double on Tuesday. Last night he singled and homered. And tonight a single and a double. Well, that ball, I mean, no one's catching that one.
Just yeah, that's one of those that unfortunately Reimer just puts an incredible swing on that. Gets it right over his head, tails away. I'm not going to blame the route on that one. When the ball's tailing like that, it's tough to get a read for any outfielder, let alone someone who's just kind of going back out there for the first time.
So the tying run is at second with one out. Birds lead it 3-2. Big swing and a big miss from Serrano. Weatherly blew it right by him. That's a challenge pitch right there.
And Weatherly won that one. You can tell it felt like that one had a little bit more juice on it. It feels like maybe Weatherly's saying, okay, you know, you got that one. Let me try to end this thing now.
Keeping the runner close at second. Weatherly motions towards second and looks Reimer back. Well, Jacob Reimer has been an issue this series. He continues to hit the ball hard. But to this point, working with men on base has not been an issue for Weatherly.
Used to do a podcast with a guy named Jacob Reimer. Fun fact.
Same name?
Spelled differently, so I had a feeling, you know, it would be if he, you know, he's a big basketball guy, so if he changed course this quickly and found his way, I would be very impressed. A lot can happen in a few weeks, but I don't think he turned into a pro baseball player.
Yeah. A ball and a strike on Serrano. He's hitless tonight. Pitch misses high. It's 2-1. Weatherly, if he can get out of this, would earn a four-inning save. He entered in the sixth. Ferret is in line for the win right now. Birds trying to preserve their second straight one-run win. 2-1, breaking ball, lost the handle on it. It's outside 3-1.
Yeah, definitely lost the handle on that one. Looked more like a pitch out than anything, but, you know, don't know why you'd be pitching out there. Looks like he just lost the handle. 3-1. If you're Serrano, this is where you are looking for your pitch, and you're looking to tie this puppy up.
Here's the 3-1. That just missed off the plate, and it puts runners at first and second now with one out. Okay, so now the go-ahead run is on base, but the double play is in order. So a ground ball, you figure something hit right out of field there. That pretty much ends it.
Yeah, if you can get a hard ground ball right at somebody, this game can be over in one pitch. But it's big. The most important thing here is, you know, limiting damage if there is any. You know, if that runner from second gets home, that's one thing. You cannot allow that runner on first to take the lead for them.
First pitch swinging, Suero comes up empty on a breaking ball. And the fact that he started him with a breaking ball off the plate, that was the exact right pitch to go to. Suero's looking to untie this game with one swing. He hit two homers two nights ago. Didn't play last night. Back in there tonight. 0-1, high and away. I'm feeling a 4-6-3 or a 6-4-3 to end this.
I would love it, Mike. I would love it. Let's get a little ground ball here. You know, make something happen. Although the way that this game's been going, I would not be surprised. Maybe we get a fly ball and thrown out for a double play. We've been seeing some weird things happen.
Yeah. 1-1, swing and a miss. Tied him up inside. Suero is not going to get cheated, that's for sure. So what I'm feeling here, Zach, you got the second baseman Estrada shading up the middle, keeping the runner close. I think Suero is going to hit a hard hit ground ball to Estrada. He's going to flip to Arias, bullet over to first, game over.
I love it. I love it. Here we go.
Now, Suero wants time.
He knew it was happening. He had to call time. He knew the double play pitch was coming.
Intense moments here, and we're only in mid-April.
This feels like a big-time ball game. Yeah. This has the feel of a big-time ball game.
Bird's pinching for two up the middle. Two on with one out in the ninth. 1-2, high and away. Weatherly not fazed by the moment. He is cool and calm out on the mound. Looks like there's some stirring in the Bird's bullpen.
We got some walking around. I don't know if we've got any throwing going on, but we've got some arms going up in the air, maybe some stretching, some walking around. We'll see what happens.
Weatherly looks at second. 2-2. That one's ripped over the third baseman Vasquez's head into the left field corner. Here comes the tying run. Now here comes the go-ahead run. Throw to the plate, no throw, and the Cyclones lead it 4-3 on the two-run double from Chris Suero.
That was one you get the it looked like the Ironbirds had him at home, but the bobble by the cutoff there by Vasquez allows the Cyclones to get the go-ahead run in. You know, it's what we were talking about. You needed to find a way here to limit the damage if there was any, and that is not what you wanted to see from the Ironbirds at all. You get the lead for the majority of the game, and then suddenly, just like that, you're trailing in the ninth inning.
Well, here comes Ironbirds pitching coach Jeremy Heilman to talk things over with Weatherly, who's still out there. One out, runner at second. It's 4-3 Cyclones. Rafael Ortega flew out to right to start the inning. Then a double from Reimer, a walk to Serrano, then a two-run double from Suero. Alejandro Mendez is up in the Ironbirds bullpen. That's tough. I mean, Zach,
yeah.
Weatherly made a lot of good pitches. He got Suero to swing and miss for strike one and two, but left one over the plate, and Suero ripped it into the corner and then had a shot at him. Vasquez with a little bobble. I don't know that they get him 100%, but
it's
it would have been close.
Yeah, it's a close play. You hate that for Vasquez because you feel like if he just corrals it and makes a nice throw home, I would say there's a pretty good chance you get the runner there, but instead, now you're sitting there, and you got to score next inning now. You know, we've been saying it for a few innings, but now, you know, backs against the wall, you got to find something.
So we will play the bottom of the ninth. The Birds will need at least one to tie it. Weatherly trying to keep this a one-run game. It's 4-3 Cyclones. They just took the lead on the two-run double from Suero. Reimer and Suero have been an issue this week. Now Weatherly moves towards second. And Suero with back of the dive. Well, for Chris Suero, we said it. He was not going to get cheated. Took some massive hacks.
Yeah.
And
he got one he could handle.
The third time, it worked out for him. Birds will have to come from behind to win this one. 1-0, swing and a miss. And I think if he gets Suero there, I think they finish it.
Oh, without I feel like that was kind of that at bat in this moment where you felt like if you could get this to two outs, it changes the outlook of the game completely. But then suddenly he gets one over the plate. He puts a great swing on it, sends it down the line. You know, the little bobble. Suddenly now, you know, you go from what you thought was maybe your 1-2 outs away from a win to now you got to play some comeback ball.
2-1 on the ground, a cue shot to third, over the bag, into foul ground, up the left field line. Here comes Suero from second, throw to the plate, the tag, safe. Wow, it was close at home. Stafford did everything he could with the tag, but it turns into a two-run double from a Starling Mercado, and the Cyclones add another. It's now 5-3. Zach, that's a...
I have no clue first how that was even a play at the plate. That was an incredible... throw from Tejada. I mean, that should have been at least that should have been nowhere.
It shouldn't have been close. That was a really weird play because it was kind of a cue shot up that third base line, and Vasquez, the third baseman, is shaded over towards short in the shift. So not really an opportunity for him to get that ball. It went into foul ground. Suero read it well. So that is three doubles in this ninth inning for Brooklyn, and that brings up DeAndre Smith with a runner at second and only one out. That's a tough break for the Birds. And off the bat, I'm thinking, you know what, that's probably going to be an out.
Yeah.
And because Vasquez was over and the ball, it just kind of gained steam as it went over the bag.
It's one of those where there was one place he could have put that probably doesn't end up an out, and that's where he put it. Right over the base, gets it to trickle down the line, get a little spin on it, and the Iron Birds had no chance there once it got past them. I'm surprised it was that close of a play at the plate because it looked like he was coming in standing up.
1-1 is in for a strike. It's 1-2. Give Weatherly credit. He's still out there making big pitches and trying to find his way through this inning. And to give up a double on that ball, I mean, that's tough. You make a good pitch, not hard contact, and it leads to a hit. Big 1-2 pitch coming up. Breaking ball on the hands, blooped into right. Here comes Anderson. It's down in front of him. Runner coming home. Anderson bobbles it in right. Throw goes to second. That gets away from the shortstop, Arias. And it's an RBI single for Smith. He gets to second. Well, actually, that might have been a double all the way, either way. Whatever they score it, it's a runner on second, a runner is in, and it's 6-3 Brooklyn.
You know, it seems like recently, and especially in this inning, it's been besides, obviously, the big double to break it open. By Suero, you get light contact, you know, barely find the line, going down third baseline. Then you go opposite field, put just a little soft touch on it. We've had some bobbles that, you know, I think have impacted, you know, maybe an extra run gets across, maybe some extra bases. Maybe he sticks to first base there if there's no bobble in right field. But overall, it's just been some light contact that really, after Suero has, you know, dinked and dunked, the Cyclones have their way into this lead and expanding on it as we sit here.
The last five have reached for the Cyclones. Double, walk, two-run double, RBI double, RBI single, and then an E9 allowed Smith to get to second. Here's a cue shot over to third. Vasquez fields it, throws to first for out number two. Meanwhile, Smith moves up to third. The Cyclones' bats coming alive in this ninth inning, a four spot to take a 6-3 lead. But, Zach, at this point, it's just let's keep it at three.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Is you can't allow, especially that runner on third. If you want to give your boys a chance, the last thing you can do is, you know, give up another run or two. You know, make it three runs. You can get some guys on. You can get some guys in motion and make something happen. If you start getting in that 4-5 run, it really starts feeling bleak.
Ground ball out to second from De Los Santos. Should end the inning, but it gets through Estrada's legs. Just didn't look it into the glove. And E4, another run is in. It's 7-3 Brooklyn.
Yeah, and it feels like the defense is kind of just unraveling right now for the Iron Birds. It's one of those innings that it just seems like it won't end.
Yeah.
You know, they've had opportunities. You know, you felt like maybe on that, even on that Suero double, maybe you had an opportunity to get the guy out at home. You maybe had some opportunities to keep the guy at first base and say he gets a second. And now, fortunately for Weatherly, it's going to be the end of his day after some tough, you know, defense feels like he let him down.
Yeah, the line score won't tell the whole story. He pitched really well, ran into just a little bit of trouble here in the ninth. I really thought he threw the ball well in some high-leverage situations, but he is done. His line is not closed. He's responsible for the man on base. But a new arm coming in for the Birds. It's 7-3 Brooklyn here in the top of the ninth. Five runs already home. It's just been one of those innings, like you said, Zach. And while we have some time, we might as well keep it here and chat.
Yeah.
Not the way that we expected things to go, especially after Weatherly had the leadoff man in the ninth. But we've got some time, so we might as well shift the conversation elsewhere. I know I brought up earlier that you guys, mm-hmm. with the Ryan Ripken Show, went down to Radio Row on the Super Bowl in New Orleans. You also took a spring training trip to Sarasota, and I know that you guys drove to and from Sarasota. So it was a trip.
It was a trip. We it took us about 16, 17 hours to get down there, and then we had to pick up a trailer on the way back. So it took about 21 hours straight through. You know, but it was all worth it. It was a ton of fun down in Sarasota. Spent the entire day, one of the days, at the Orioles camp. Got there about 6 a.m., actually, and left around 4 or 5 p.m. So just a really fun day, getting a lot of interviews, talking to a lot of people. It really was an awesome time. And just spring training is such a it's such a unique, you know, place to be, because there's just this hope for everyone. Everyone's got this, you know, it feels like the first day of school vibe. Yeah. You know, you're back. Everyone's seeing their friends again. It's just a really cool thing to be down at spring training and, you know, kind of see as guys prepare for this long season ahead.
So the new arm for the Ironbirds is right-hander Alejandro Mendez. He's on for the first time at home in Aberdeen, but the second time overall for the Birds. First pitch strike to the leadoff man Boston Barrow, the ninth man to hit in the inning. Five runs home for the Cyclones. They lead at 7-3.
I'll say it again, you need an out here. You know, let's find something.
Finish it off here.
Finish it off here and then see what happens in the ninth. You know, if they scored five, why can't we?
It's a new baseball for Mendez. I don't know if that one was scuffed up or what, but he'll get a new one. The count is 0-1 on Barrow. An error has extended the inning. A couple of errors in the inning for the Birds. Runner at first is De Los Santos. Next pitch, way inside. Well, Mendez is just 24 years old. He's from San Juan de la Maguana in the Dominican Republic. Started his pro career back in 2019 in the Dominican Summer League. He's been with the Orioles organization for quite some time. That one gets to the backstop, and De Los Santos moves up to second. It's going to go down as a wild pitch. But, Zach, to continue the conversation about you guys going down to spring training, did you get a chance to hit the beach at all while you were down there?
For about an hour.
Okay.
So not too much beach time. Actually, we spent more time looking for a spot at the beach than we did really enjoying the beach. I'll give it that. That was – we fumbled there. We fumbled there. We did not go at the correct time that we were supposed to. And it was a lot of driving around looking for parking spots.
Yeah, you know? Live and you learn for the next time. Were you at Siesta Key?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it's fantastic. So when I was down at Orioles minor league camp at the end of spring training in 2024, spent the day at the minor league complex, then slid over to Siesta Key. I didn't have any problem finding parking. I guess I went at the right time.
Yeah, I was going to say. From what we were told, they're like, you know, you're good if you go from these times. That was we did not follow what we were supposed to as, ball gets out of there. A little foul down the line. This is a massive pitch here. You got to get out of this inning to give them an opportunity.
Three balls, two strikes, two outs. De Los Santos at second, Barrow in the box. The Birds trying to keep things where they are. They entered this ninth inning leading 3-2. And now it's 7-3 Brooklyn. Cyclones trying to steal a W on a cold night in the Dean. Mendez looking for the final out of the ninth. He's ready. Payoff pitch. Fly ball to shallow right. Anderson is camped under that one, and he puts it away. The side is finally retired. But the Cyclones just sent nine men to the plate. They put up five big runs. They do it on four hits and a couple of errors. And we'll go to the bottom of the ninth. Birds down four. Can they keep it alive or win it? Stay locked in on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Bottom of the ninth inning here in Aberdeen. It's Brooklyn 7, Aberdeen 3. The Birds led 3-2 going into the ninth, but a five spot for the Cyclones has flipped the script on this one. And here in the home ninth, with the Birds down to their final three outs, they'll send up Vasquez, Mordan, and Tejada, unless we see a pinch hitter. And it looks like we might. I think it's Griff O'Farrell who's grabbed a bat and is going to hit for Jalen Vasquez. Looks like that's what will happen. Tejada is out there with a bat as well. Mordan. So he'll hit on deck, but O'Farrell's going to lead off and pinch hit for Vasquez. Zach, they need some runs. That's all it comes down to. They haven't scored since the second inning or the third inning. We'll see if they can string together some magic here in the ninth.
You know, Mike, I wasn't feeling too great going into the after last inning. Then they put YMCA on during the half inning, and I'm feeling the vibes are back. It's now or never, back against the wall. Let's see if some magic can happen here at the Dean.
We saw a lot of magic at the Dean last season. See if it can happen again tonight. Down four. It starts with Griff O'Farrell, the pinch hitter. So Vasquez done. It's O'Farrell into the game to hit and try to find his way on base. O'Farrell, the 32nd overall pick out of UVA, slaps one to first, caught by Mercado, and on one pitch, Griff is retired. He hit it hard.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Wrong place, wrong time. Very nice opposite field hit and gets a nice shot off the bat, but it goes down as an out either way.
Dylan Ross, the right-hander, back out for Brooklyn. The Brooklyn bullpen has been fantastic again tonight. Last night, the bullpen got it done for Brooklyn as well. Three relievers combined to hold the Ironbirds scoreless over three innings after Noah Hall exited. And tonight, scoreless baseball from Joel Diaz and Dylan Ross. Diaz went 3 2/3. Ross, an inning and a third so far. Five scoreless tonight from these Cyclones relievers. Counts 1-0 on Anunis Mordan. Swing and a miss. It's 1-1. You got to get that first guy on, and then it's just keep the line moving.
It starts from there, you know, and that's why, you know, you feel awful for Griff there. Gets a beautiful ball off the bat, and you would like to have him sitting on first or second right now, maybe start a little rally. But, you know, it's a hard out, and now it's all up to Mordan to start the rally. You know, hey, the Cyclones just scored five runs last inning after the first guy was retired, so – You gotta take it where you can get it. Get a guy on and then go from there.
2-1 is inside. It's 3-1. Well, you've got your rally cap on.
Yeah, you know, this is the moment. This is the moment. You know, get a guy on. Three balls here. You know, any way you can get on, you find a way on, and then you go from there. There's no four run swing with the bases empty, so you gotta get guys on, and then you can see what happens there. Now, we'll see.
Well, there's ball four to Mordan. He's aboard. And that brings up Angel Tejada. It had to start somewhere. So Mordan with a good approach. And Mordan's had a nice approach all night. He is 1-for-2. He's reached safely three times. Two walks and that double back in the third. The Ironbirds still without a hit since that third inning. That's when they did pretty much all of their damage. But guys have reached via the walk over the last few frames. Tejada with a big cut. It's 0-1. Fouled it back. I like that these guys are still going up there with a good approach. They're not just going up there trying to. It's not hero ball up there. It's, hey, let's take close pitches, you know, work the count. Tejada had a pitch in the zone there. He swung early. Big hole on the right side for him. 0-1 fouled away. There's another guy who won't get cheated.
No, and there are very few guys on the Ironbird roster that's good, that'll get cheated. These guys are going up there, and like you said, they're waiting for their pitches. They're not trying to play hero ball, but if they see a ball that they think that they can get a hold of, they're going to swing at it, and they're not going to get cheated at all on their swings.
So Tejada steps back in with the count 0-2. Ross in line for the win now. Trying to get Brooklyn the W. 0-2, swing and a miss, breaking ball down in the zone. And the Birds have one out left to play with now, back to the top for Austin Overn. The Cyclones weren't doing much at all with the bats until the ninth inning. Jacob Reimer doubled with one out to get it going. Chris Suero doubled home two to give Brooklyn its first lead since the second inning. And then the Clones tacked on some insurance runs. First pitch to over and in for a strike. He is 1-for-4 with a single tonight.
Why not? Why not have some magic at the Dean tonight? Let's get a little two-out rally going.
Yeah, why not us, you know?
Why not? I have been doing the math, I'm not going to lie, on how many batters have to get on before De La Santos comes back up. Maybe this is the moment. Maybe it's a walk-off, you know?
I like that you're thinking that far ahead, though, just in case.
Got to find a way. I refuse to give up. Refuse to give up. You know, if we get a few more, maybe a bunch of walks, he gets back up.
Ross set. Runner at first. Over and in the box. 1-1 fouled away, and the Birds have one strike left to play with. Can over and keep it alive and get Estrada to the plate. Just bring the tying run to the plate. I think that's all you can ask for.
I was going to say, just find, you know, pass the baton to the next guy.
1-2 is outside. So if Overn reaches and Estrada reaches, then the tying run is Ryan Stafford at the dish.
Mm-hmm. Just got to have a chance. Just got to give him a chance.
Big lead at first for Mordan. They're not holding him on. Swinging a foul tip into Suero's glove, and this one's over. A 7-3 win for the Brooklyn Cyclones. A come-from-behind win thanks to a 5-run, 4-hit ninth inning. Birds go down quietly. Over and strikes out to end it. And the Cyclones regain the series lead at 2-1. Well, Zach, that is not how we wanted this one to end. It was
looked
tough.
Good through eight. It looked good through eight. Weatherly, unfortunately, pitched brilliantly his first 2-3 innings. And then, in the ninth inning, defense got a little sloppy behind him. Definitely left some run, you know, gave them a few extra runs. You think maybe realistically it could have been 5-3, you know, at worst, if you don't have the errors, if you don't bobble the ball as much, and which, you know, would have had the tying run up, you know, maybe a little bit something else. But, you know, it's tough to beat the other team, you know, if you're also kind of beating yourself. So, back at it tomorrow, though. Back at it tomorrow. That's the beauty of baseball. Birds are back at it tomorrow.
That's exactly it. We're back at it, of course, for game four of this 6-game series. But, Zach, I mean, even in the loss, there is plenty to like about what the Ironbirds did out there. Let's start with Michael Ferrett. We can't really start anywhere else.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal. 5 no-hit innings. He gave up a run but did not allow a hit. He walked one. He hit a batter. But he struck out a season-high 9. And he did it on just 70 pitches. He retired the last 11 batters he faced. He was electric. Really, whatever adjective you want to use, that was him tonight.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of minor league baseball. And also sometimes, you know, the other end of it is, yes, the Ironbirds lost tonight, but it was a massive win in the regard of what Ferrett was able to do. He continued his hot start to the season. And you know, we've been talking all night about this guy. He's got a very, very special future. Just at 21 years old, the poise he had even after a tough second inning, things start to get away from him. Nope, bring it right back in. Goes on an absolute tear, striking out guys left and right. Like you said, towards the end, it was his world. We were just living in it. And that's what you want to see if you're the Ironbirds. Yes, would you love to see a win? Do you want to win every game? Yes. But when you are a minor league team, when you are also partially, the wins are one thing, but it's the development. Seeing this game from Ferrett, that is a win for the organization tonight.
That's a great point. I mean, he was fantastic, and you think about the future with him. Mm-hmm. The future is so bright. I mean, you look at what he did, 5 innings, gave up just the 1 run. The 9 Ks really stand out. Only 1 walk, that stands out to me. At times he struggles with command and the walks can pile up, but he has been so good this year. And you can see the development process and plan working for him. He's done such a nice job to put him in this position where we're talking about him as becoming one of the best pitching prospects in the Orioles org. He's down to an 0.61 ERA on this season. He has been so
good.
It's just been really fun to watch. Ty Weatherly was really good as well, mm-hmm. 3 2/3. The line doesn't show at all. It really does not tell the whole story. But he was good. He had that 1-2-3 eighth. He was pitching in a lot of high-leverage situations. Just ran into a little trouble in the ninth. So I want to give Ty a shout-out because he was good tonight as well.
He was. It's unfortunate. If you look at the box score, you're going to think that he had a rough outing. You're going to look at the ninth and go, oh, my gosh. how could he do this? Defense let him down at times. Just some tough luck. You know, the little dribbler that goes around third base. You get a little ball off the end of the bat that then suddenly bloops into right field, causes some chaos, probably gets in an extra run or two that you weren't you didn't think was necessary. You didn't think was really on him.
Yeah. But so that's what happened on the pitching side for the Birds offensively. All three runs and all four of their hits came in that third inning. Aaron Estrada with a Baltimore chop infield single to bring home a run. Angel Tejada, a hard-hit RBI single in his first at-bat of the season. Anudis Mordaunt, who's getting going with the bat, doubled to start the inning. Ethan Anderson had an RBI ground out. So there are some positives to take away, but the bats just went quiet the rest of the way. But, Zach, your first time here in the booth this season, yeah. You're going to be back. I know we've got you on the books for a game in May. I'm sure that won't be the last time. You didn't get the win tonight, just three runs on the board for the Birds. But a no-hit bid through five, and, of course, we always have a great back and forth on the broadcast.
It's always a great time coming up here to do games with you, Mike. And, yeah, you know, not the game, but the outcome the Iron Birds wanted or we wanted, but there was a lot of great things to take away from today. You saw improvement from guys. You saw flashes of what not only we see in them, but what the organization sees in them. So, overall, I mean, even after a loss, there's nowhere else you'd rather be than here.
Absolutely. Real quick before we wrap up, what's next for you with the Ryan Ripken Show moving forward?
Catch us. You know, we'll be back at it live Tuesday through Thursday, 2:30 to 4:30. I also do Kevin and Zachary Act, which is actually live right now. I'll be hopping on that on my way home. I'll be doing that from the car. I will be, you know, just voice, not on the not having my camera on, but I will be doing that. We go live after every single Orioles game, win or lose, all 162, hopefully plus. So there's always something going on. You can find me at on X at Zach Bollinger 18, on Instagram at Zach Bollinger. But Mike, it's been a pleasure as always.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm excited to have you back. I'm glad we already have that in the schedule. Well, that's going to do it for a fun broadcast tonight in Aberdeen. Birds come up short. The Cyclones win it 7-3. Final totals for the Cyclones, 7 runs on 7 hits, no errors. For the Ironbirds, 3 runs on 4 hits, 2 errors. With the win, the Cyclones move to 8-4. With the loss, the Ironbirds drop to 6-6. The win goes to Dylan Ross. He's 2-0. Ty Weatherly handed the loss. He is 0-2. No save. Game was played in 2 hours and 41 minutes in front of 896 fans here in the Dean. Zach, my man, thanks for joining me. It's going to be great to have you back on soon.
I'm excited to get back. Hopefully we get a win next time. Maybe a no-hitter. We continue it.
Maybe. We'll see. For my awesome production crew here in Aberdeen and my guest color commentator, Zach Bollinger, my name is Michael Marcantonini. Thanks for tuning in. We're back at it tomorrow. First pitch at 7:05 for Game 4 of this 6-game series here in Aberdeen. Have a great night, everybody.